Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hind.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host
annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
Why you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Guys!
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio or something.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. You're listening to the best Patriots online internet radio show that starts at noon from Gillette Stadium in the world. Paul and Andy are here.
I don't think there's much dispute about that.
No. Where's Eric?
He's off today.
Won't be by later.
All right. Well, we'll be
He might be, but I don't know.
We'll be here until 2 o'clock here on PFW in Progress. They took down my phone number. 508-543.
Phone calls today, people.
543-7482.
Is it? 543-7482?
On the Ace Ticket Hotline.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline.
How did you call when you were in Atlanta?
Huh?
How did you call when you were in Atlanta?
I called the switchboard, and then I think they transferred me down.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I didn't know the number.
He said, Eric, what's the phone number? That's what he did.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That I know without looking. And, good and bad coming out of Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I keep forgetting that, you know, this is the first time we've had a show. Seems like so much has passed since Sunday. But for our listeners, I guess we got to start from the top. 38-30 win. It's good to win.
It's always good to win.
Especially a division game.
Yep.
Would have been an enormous loss. Matter of fact, Fred Kirsch went as far, Andy, as to say, if they lose this game,
they won't make the playoffs.
I did say that.
And he promised he would come on this radio show and declare it.
I did say that.
But, Fred,
I said that.
They won.
They won, so I don't have to say it.
No, I know. So I said that you had thought it.
This is so if anyone's
right around the time I was getting the paddles out trying to resuscitate you.
If anyone's trying to visualize what goes on during a game when we're watching, that gives you a little bit of indication of the roller coaster emotionally that I go through for 3 hours on Sunday.
Fred's not lying about that.
You used to go through it when it wasn't really a roller coaster. Now it's a real roller coaster.
Yeah, now it's
and
bad.
You're really going through it.
Like, I mean, you went through it in 07 and we had four games that were competitive.
And you were roller coastering week to week. This is a little different because this is legit. But was it a win?
Yeah, it was a win.
I mean, I know it's a win in the standings, but do you feel like, you know,
it was a win.
Bills
in that
beat Patriots 30-38.
It was a win in that they took care of an AFC East opponent. You never know what happens when you play those intra-division games. Anything can happen. So they won. A win is a win. However, good is the offense is as good as we thought it was and could even get better once Brady gets even more comfortable with his tight ends and Tate and Edelman. Defense might be a little worse than we thought it was. That's the downside. Now,
but can it get better?
Now here's
it's young.
You know, I've been thinking about this though.
I'm going with the young.
Here's a game in which he said, "Okay, I'm not going to start Tully Bannacane."
Well, we need to talk about that because okay, I don't buy that.
Okay, but hold on.
I think
that finish.
Was a game plan move.
I'm
going to
barely play Darius Butler.
Benching.
Okay, and who's the other one? That's it. No.
Merriweather was already benched.
Merriweather's well, already out of the lineup.
Okay.
Been benched.
But I think that it's a game that he felt he probably could do a little experimenting that way.
I don't think he thinks that
but
way.
I think Belichick knows what he has. He's not a dummy. He knows that he doesn't have the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
I think he knows he has a team he can't tinker and tweak things well, and play
but,
games.
But
I think he knows he has to put 11 out there to win.
But I think at this early stage of the season, I think he's happy he was playing Buffalo because I think he did do a little tinkering.
But I
you
think
honestly
tinkering
think that
to
he
try
did
to
tinkering?
Win.
Yeah, with Arrington, I do. I think that was some
tinkering. All right, so he knows what he has in Darius Butler?
Yeah, and I think he wants to see what he has.
18 games, he knows what he has?
I think he wants to see what he has at Arrington.
7 starts in his career, he's giving up on Butler? Is that the implication?
Well, I think he wants to see if Arrington's any better. Wow. Look,
but that's
Darius
not,
that,
wait,
Butler.
But wait a minute. You might be right about that. Yeah. That's not tinkering. That's what I have isn't good enough.
Well,
I need to
be.
Get
that's
someone else.
No,
when I say tinkering, I mean he put Arrington out there to teach him a lesson, and he's only doing it this week because it's the Bills,
knows
and
it's
I know
the
I'm going to win anyway.
Yeah. That's tinkering.
I don't think he knows he's going to win against the Bills, nope. Against the Lions, against the Browns right now. I don't think he knows.
Well, I think he's also tinkering with all various – to see what works, with various formations. And I think at this point he's trying to figure out what he has.
Which is not great.
Right now – yeah, you would have to lean toward that. Look, even when Butler was in, he really looked like his head was gone.
No, but my point is, I'm not saying the production is not great, that it's worrisome there. I'm saying I kind of look at this like Kevin Cobb in Philadelphia. I thought Andy Reid decided Kevin Cobb was his guy, so he should go with it. Just like I thought Bill Belichick decided some of these guys were his guy, and he's already giving up on Butler?
I don't know if, again,
I know Bodden's out of the mix, but I thought it looked in camp like he said my top three corners are Butler, McCourty, and Bodden. Okay, so Bodden's out of the mix. So it feels like he's seen enough. You know, he drafted him. He played him last year a lot.
Right.
He started 5 games. To just cut ties with that? I mean, are we
giving
up?
I don't
up?
Think he's cutting ties. I don't think
well,
he's
Well, you said
he
up. Wants to find out what he's got in Kyle Arrington.
I think at this point he needs to find out who he has for all these guys.
But I thought we were looking at Butler as my starting corner of the future, and like a rookie quarterback, he's going to take his lumps, but I'll benefit at some point because he'll be better for it down the road.
Well,
yeah, I actually think the Butler thing I think is very interesting because I think he's at such an early stage of his career. I think you do... I think you risk losing the guy. I really do.
Well,
I think you risk really doing some damage to his confidence, to his playing style potentially. I mean, he's a guy that we've talked about this for a while now. He seems to always be around the ball but doesn't make plays. Well, does he now say, well, forget that. I don't want to give up any
right.
plays. I'm going to back off.
Right.
Well,
I don't know.
When he was that one play where he took the bad angle on the sideline, the guy ran by him, he really looked like unprofessional. In how he pursued
but
this guy.
But who looked professional in that game defensively Sunday?
Well, there were a couple. I think Rodney, here I go again, Jerod Mayo.
Really?
I think he had one of his best games in a long time. Yeah,
they averaged over 5.5 yards a carry for a team that all they do is line up and smash
well,
you.
Well, one of the things I think Jerod Mayo had a good game. I think Vince Wilfork, they need to put him at nose and keep him there, okay? And let everyone move around him. Because he's a nose tackle. Forget about moving him around. Leave him at nose and have everybody else move around. Okay? I think Cunningham is getting more reps. I think he's getting more experience. I think he showed up on a couple plays. Overall, the defense played horribly. Horribly.
I thought Cunningham at times played horribly. Like, getting back to Bannacane, there's been some question, was he benched? Was he not benched? Was it a game plan thing? Paul and I kind of took it as the Bills are going to try to run the ball. Theoretically, maybe Cunningham is your bigger, stouter run guy because Bannacane came in very quickly thereafter in passing situations and played a lot. Even
within
he said,
that first series,
even he said
Darius Butler played like 3 plays in the game.
Right.
TBC played the whole
said
game.
He knew he was right. part of the game plan, regardless of starting or not starting. He knew he was part of the game plan. But I saw Jermaine Cunningham get killed a couple times. One of them by a fullback. Talk about setting the edge. The guy who set the edge was the fullback. I actually look. They have a big guy, McIntyre. He's like 260-something pound fullback. But I mean, he just got swallowed up and engulfed. And
it's
going to
happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, so are we just going with that, that it's going to happen? Because then why didn't it just happen for Butler? That's my point. Either you're going to take your lumps and say, Cunningham's my guy. Spikes is my guy, no matter what. Butler's my guy. Chung's my guy. Either I'm taking my lumps for the theory that by late December we'll be good, or I'm tinkering because I don't know what I have and it's week three.
Well, I look at the game.
I want to take lumps because I thought physically that there's some guys that are intriguing.
You know, Devin McCourty, I thought, really struggled in this game. And that's another one. You know, you just said, you know, is he my guy? Am I going to stick with him?
Yes, he's my guy.
Now, I don't want to see him come out of that lineup even for a play. Right. I want him out there getting as much experience as possible.
Did the Colts yank Peyton Manning in 1998?
To get these reps under his knee and get his development. I want to further his development. And I wanted to see that with Butler, too. Was I happy with Butler in the first two games? No. He needs to play better. I'm just like I wasn't happy with McCourty in the last two games. You know, the touchdown down the sideline at the end of the game to make it 38-30, that was McCourty. There was a big third down conversion across the middle to Steve Johnson. That was McCourty. I don't want to take him out of the game because of that. I want him out there learning from these mistakes, theoretically, to become a better player. I don't know how after 20 games or 18 games you've decided Butler's plateaued. He's not going to get any better. If that's, I don't think that's the decision
We don't know that.
I don't understand why you would take him out of the lineup. I just don't.
Unless,
it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Unless Arrington has showed some things and you figured, okay, it's the Bills. Here's a chance to give him some reps and see
but
what he can
do. But it's not a chance.
Don't buy
they
that.
Need to win the game.
So it's the
it
Bills
It wasn't a
part.
Chance to do anything.
I'm okay with it because we actually liked Arrington in camp and he made some plays and we said, hey, maybe he'll make a run.
Make
at some
him your
time.
Nickel guy over Wilhite or move Butler in the slot and
but
take Wilhite out of there and put,
in the slot.
And put Arrington on the outside. Then I would say Arrington's making a press for playing time. But to me, this is not about Arrington as much as it was about a message to Butler. You know, he's not playing.
And maybe that's all it is. 1 week message, and this is Bill. This is how we want to.
And I don't like that.
But
the
Paul's
message.
But Paul's right in that if it is just a 1 week message, it could do more
I
damage.
I think it hurts you.
Yeah.
And then people will say, well, if he gets damaged by that mentally, he wasn't good enough anyway. That's crap. That's not accurate. I mean, a lot of different guys develop at different rates in different ways.
Literally, is there that much? My comparison to quarterback, is there that much of a difference of the spotlight and the glaring nature of mistakes at corner versus quarterback? They both can embarrass you. You're both on,
not
so to
locally,
speak, an island.
Anyway. Maybe nationally, if you're a quarterback and you play like Jamarcus Russell, everybody in the country knows about it.
Right
now, people in Green Bay aren't talking about Darius.
No, Palmer. I'm just talking about from the player's perspective. Everybody likes to say you can ruin a quarterback by putting him out there too early. It's the great debate. Do you play Sam Bradford? Do you give him a year? You know, my guy I point to in Minnesota, Tavares Jackson. I think may have been talented enough to have an NFL career. I think he got destroyed early. Then he got yanked. Then he got Brett Favre. I think corner's the same thing. You know, everybody sees everything you do. If you're Ron Brace, you might get pushed around. Not everybody's noticing it. But when you're in the camera view, that little box that everybody at home is looking through, like Darius Butler was against the Jets, everybody notices it. Yeah. He tweets. He hears about it. I mean, we had some very critical emails about him this week.
I'm not defending his play. He played badly. And Arrington,
no, but I'm saying
Arrington specifically, Andy's
pulled.
Right about, because I'll bet you if you look back at our training camp updates, I'll bet you Arrington was who's hot on multiple occasions because he had a strong training camp. We talked about him a lot on our daily podcast. So I'm not saying that Arrington doesn't deserve to get some playing time. He hasn't earned, you know, with his practice play.
But it wasn't earned playing time. It was a benching.
But
there's
I think
a difference
it was
a guy just
I think
flicking
it was
a switch
benching.
From one to the other and
they didn't split
working
reps.
A guy in.
They didn't split
now,
reps.
All of that stuff that we have on the questionable side, to me, is flipped, 180 degrees on offense, Fred, because I think, as you put in the open, all of the things that we thought during the summer have been on display for the most part in, I would say, 10 out of the 12 quarters. The second half of the Jets game being the lone exception, it's almost, they're mirror images. I mean,
some of the things we didn't think.
They've played
there's 10. Positives we didn't even
10 out of 12
about.
Quarters, they've been outstanding offensively. 10 out of 12 quarters, in my opinion, they've been subpar defensively. You know, with the first half of the Cincinnati game, was solid.
Right.
And from that point on, it's been all downhill.
But, I mean, we never talked about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I don't think we thought he would develop into the lead back.
That's
Sunday, he looked like a lead back.
Has he developed into it, or has he been
thrust into it?
I
didn't think he had that. I didn't think he had what he did Sunday.
He was a lead NFL back in a tight game who ran the clock out and won.
Had a great game.
That is something that I don't think, at least Paul and I don't want to speak for you, I don't think
him
maximizing runs and getting 7 yards.
Yeah, the listeners have been on us about that for a while. They like Benny, and Andy and I have sort of been reluctant.
The numbers were on our side until Sunday. He had a legitimate performance where the other team knew he was going to run, and he ran.
and he made guys miss. He pushed guys back.
Maximize runs. I don't think he'd done that in the past. I think he'd gotten his 3.7 and fallen down.
I thought it was the style more so than anything else. I thought he made guys miss in the hole when there wasn't really a lot there. And then he also moved the pile back on a consistent basis.
But we also give a little bit of credit to the offensive line.
A lot of credit, in that
his first point of contact was at least at the line of scrimmage or a yard back. So we had a little bit of room to work.
I'll always give the line credit.
We've seen, you know, in the past where our offensive line gets pushed back in, whether it's Maroney or Fred Taylor, Sammy Morris, that first guy that they need to make miss is already a yard back in the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and we also take into account whether we think the Bills have any sort of semblance of a run defense, especially without Paul Posluszny.
We won't know that until the end of the season.
Right. But well, my point is, we know that they had none last year, and they haven't had any this year. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis had 100 yards 2 years ago against the Bills, right? Or was that last year when he filled in?
2 years ago.
It didn't look anything like his 98 on Sunday. This was far more impressive. He didn't get the magic number. It was a much better performance. And they needed it. They needed it to win. They needed it to run the game out. And he did it, right?
Sure.
That's good. Yeah. And we didn't predict that. We predicted the tight ends. We predicted some of the other stuff. We didn't predict that. Yeah. We didn't predict Danny Woodhead either.
Well, Danny Woodhead, how could you? I mean, somebody asked me before the game on the blog, you know, is Danny Woodhead just a Jag? And I put less than a Jag.
Well, I would agree with that.
Would you now?
But I was surprised.
He's a starting Jag who had an impact on the game for the Pulse.
I mean, I know he's on. He doesn't even make your list. He's that bad.
No, you have to admit that. I'm talking about being surprised that I knew he would be active because they don't have any running backs.
Right, we knew. Yeah.
I didn't think he would be a part of the game plan, and Andy talked about this week. The most impressive thing that I saw from Danny Woodhead was his ability to be on the field and do different things with less than a week of practice, really. That was very impressive to me from Woodhead. The fact
and
that
they knew it. Bill
came
said,
in here
put him out there Friday, and he looked like he knew everything.
The fact that he was able to absorb the game plan well enough that Bill put him out there in some big spots, that was me very impressive.
Now they didn't.
Now
really
what
get
he did in the game,
in
yeah,
they never blitzed. They didn't put any pressure on him in terms of making a
complete
tough decision.
Element of surprise for what he did in the game, but I think ridiculously impressive to have been able to handle that from a mental standpoint.
I mean, he looks a little like Darren Sproles. I'm not saying that he's as fast as Sproles.
Paul
but
just rolled his eyes for
in
those
stature
of us
and the way he
as
cuts.
As I did last week when a listener compared him to Darren Sproles.
Somebody else did?
Yeah.
Well, maybe then.
You steal everything you said,
Soto. I did not steal that.
I mean, read it.
I'm not saying that somebody else.
You did read it. You read the email.
Well, I've long forgotten all emails I've ever read.
Ignorance is bliss. I didn't steal that. I forgot it.
Andy and I thought Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis was a Jag. At least we have enough manhood to say, you know what? On Sunday, he proved us
now
wrong.
Now I'm not a man.
Well, you can't. You read that.
I forgot.
But clearly, I honestly don't remember reading that.
But
let's back up a little bit here.
I love the offense. I think it's going to do
Kevin
different
Falk's
things
been
every week.
Replaced now because we got Danny frickin' Woodhead.
Now, what's this report? I think Reese tweeted it out during the game that Belichick got into sort of an animated conversation with Bill O'Brien. Right after that, they started running the ball. Did anyone else hear this, notice this? No?
No.
Okay.
I think this.
Paul, you're dismissing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely, because I think that the way that game unfolded to me, they kept throwing the ball until the clock said it was time to run the ball.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I think it was elementary football. How did they get the last touchdown drive to put the game away?
Well, they had an interception.
No, it was 3rd and 10, and they had an incomplete pass that they got an illegal contact penalty on.
When did this
supposed fight occur?
I don't know. That's all I heard. They were saying it on the Dennis and the Callahan this morning.
Yeah, so. I don't know anything about it. Last week it was 2 weeks ago. Schottenheimer and Ryan.
The only time they went predominantly to the running game was after at the very end of the game, that last drive. That was the only time I thought they went, you know, and they had to run the clock.
Portion, they actually went 5 wide, spread them out, no huddle.
Exactly.
No chance of a running back not only playing, but like getting on the field because they just decided we're not going to go with a running back.
So this conversation or this alleged altercation must have taken place very, very late in the game.
No, I don't want to make it sound like it was an altercation.
Punches?
He just said it was animated.
No punches?
No.
Yeah. No.
I'm not even sure anyone was yelling.
The alleged discussion must have taken place very, very late in the game.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know.
Basically, my point is, I don't think it was a cause and effect. I think that the scoreboard and the clock dictated it's time to just pound the ball out and run this clock out and get out of here.
When I saw Bill animated, he was yelling at the officials, who apparently screwed him based on their own admission.
And, you know, he was right. The officials admitted afterwards that they were wrong.
I need to have... I know this could never happen, Fred, because I would need to have police... the refs would need to have police escorts. I need to be the pool reporter, because the questions aren't proper. The guy announced
Mike Reese
on the field that they took the timeout and gave it back to Buffalo.
That's right. He did announce
that. He announced that. Yep. Because of the reversal, which rightly took away Buffalo's first down on a very big play late in the first half.
Right.
They went to replay, which is automatic in the last 2 minutes. It's not a coach's challenge.
Right.
So Buffalo was, they said, given their timeout back.
That's right.
So if you make that announcement and that's incorrect, Buffalo doesn't know that you made a mistake with that. So when they call a timeout, that's not two timeouts in a row.
That's what I thought. That's what I blogged. That's how I explained it.
That's how I thought it.
Exactly how you just said
it. So, but in the pool report,
right,
that was never brought up.
No, it wasn't.
The referee just said, we gave them two timeouts in a row. Right. Well, how do we know you gave them two timeouts in a row? You announced to 68,000 plus the millions and millions that are watching at home that
right.
they didn't have two timeouts in a row. So why the change?
Right.
And I can understand why Bill was upset if they're going to say that, you know, because they're not supposed to grant that. It's not a penalty, but they're not supposed to stop the clock and grant that timeout. And
no,
they
but it is now a penalty.
No, it's not a penalty.
They
it was in that pool
that.
Report.
No, he just said there's
it's
no penalty.
It's not a penalty. They're just
Do
not supposed
to
grant it.
Do you not read the paper?
I did, but
you
but,
guys, I keep bringing up stuff that
no,
were quotes in our paper that
I
you guys
read
don't
it.
Read. No, the other one I'm talking about.
No, but
field
I thought that they changed it to be a penalty a couple years ago.
You didn't.
No.
The pool report specifically said there is.
I know
no...
it said that. I know it said that. But I thought that's wrong too. I
it's
thought
not.
It...
No, you can't call two timeouts in a row.
They
it's not a penalty.
They just ignore you.
Well, I know they just ignore
they're
you.
They're supposed to ignore you.
No, see, here's what happened. Back in the day when Vrabel called those two.
Yes, this is the solution that they made.
Listen,
but you're wrong,
listen.
Fred.
You're going to let me finish?
No.
They changed the rule to you're not allowed to call two timeouts
right.
in a rule, but then they realize people are going to do it anyway because it's disruptive. And that's exactly what Vrabel did. And then the next week they changed it to a penalty.
No, they didn't. That's what I'm, that's it's why I didn't need your whole
ignoring.
Explanation.
Ignoring. They're supposed to ignore
They're
it.
Supposed to,
you
but
treat it like a 2 year old.
But
ignore him.
But I'm telling you, Vrabel.
When Vrabel did it, you were allowed to call two timeouts in a row.
No, but then,
this is what I'm trying to explain
to
you.
And then the next week, like backyard wiffle ball, they changed the rules in the middle of the season.
Right, exactly. They and he did it again.
All of a sudden, it was the Paul Perillo Invitational where we're just making up the rules on the
tree.
I
got to
get
now,
I
got to
get somebody with a rule book because I swear
why,
that
why does the referee telling you in that
because
quote,
they screwed up again? So all of a sudden, you believe the ref's ball?
I was just envisioning Paul as the pool reporter, though.
No.
If only you made the referee a woman, that would be a battle royal in that
oh
locker
God.
Room.
But wait a minute. Are you telling me as the pool reporter the question? This is just like the Baltimore game last year when they had the pool report. Remember when we faked the field goal last year?
I'm not questioning that you would ask the proper question. It's how you would
well,
ask
Well, that's why
it.
I said it could never happen.
And the
zero to
hot.
Ensue.
No,
yes,
I let off the whole thing. It could never happen because the rest would need a police escort, and that wouldn't be
You would be
that,
beating
that
up 65-year-old men on a weekly basis.
But the question to ask...
Give him a tussle.
The question to ask there would be, why did you say that Buffalo was not charged with the timeout?
I misspoke.
Right.
Okay, but that's the answer. But that was never brought up.
Right.
And...
Just
what,
like last year in that fake, remember the fake field goal the Patriots
the field,
did at the end?
Oh, what happened on the field was had nothing to do with their explanation.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And it wasn't talked about.
But I think the explanation changed from when they explained it to Bill Belichick and when they explained it to the media, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because Bill was heated. And I think if the guy had just said, I effed up, Bill would at least stop. He
especially
got a, he
in
got
this
a,
day and age where those referees
ringing, Kevin.
Get on the mic and they talk for hours about all, they explain all the, how many times do you see now they get on the microphone to tell you there's not a penalty, even when they didn't throw a flag.
Right.
There is no penalty for running into the kicker.
Right.
No, and then everybody's looking and said, did you even see the kicker get hit?
Right.
You know, there is no penalty. I mean, we don't need that. But this is something where there's clearly mass confusion. Bill was irate on our sideline.
He called it
and
BS.
Buffalo was probably looking at it and saying, well, you just said that we didn't get a timeout, so
right.
why shouldn't we be allowed to call a second one?
Right.
But they're always confused
right.
on the Bills side.
But I think that the officials, I think the original thing that they may have screwed up, I think that the Bills should have been called a timeout, should have been charged with a timeout.
I just wanted to bring some research from the crack staff. Altercation took place with 4:05 left in the game, according to Kevin, Paul Perillo.
Yeah.
Altercation, they're calling it?
No, the discussion.
Okay. Because let's
he's
not...
waving his hands back there, but it says altercation, colon, 405 left.
Yeah, let's not call it an altercation.
Okay, heated discussion.
So that
Brady was apparently screaming, too, involved in this reported discussion. Maybe our fans saw it watching on TV. Maybe
see,
they
that,
saw a little
that
more.
That kind of lends credence to my point of view. I mean, and then from then on, they ran the ball. Well, no kidding. with an 8-point lead in
actually,
3 minutes.
What else at the 405 point, they didn't run the ball. It was sacked. Pass short middle, pass short left, pass
three penalties.
Incomplete. There was an offensive pass interference in there on one of those passes, and they punted.
So what is it?
They went backwards 16 yards in that possession.
So what are we talking about here?
They ended with 4th and 26 from their 35 where they punted.
Is there any insight into the discussion with that?
I'm just telling
research.
You when it happened.
Oh, okay.
Just giving you information.
Well, in the play-by-play now, they have altercation at 405.
No. The tweet came out and said, you're the one
who
brought this
word
up.
Altercation.
You're the one who brought this to our attention. We didn't see
right?
it. We don't
He's
do
just
the Twitter.
Pointing out the specifics of where the tweet came from.
Okay. All right.
Tweet it as you will.
Aha.
So at 405 left, they had a discussion about something.
Right.
And they immediately threw the ball.
So, I don't know what they're talking about then. I don't know what they were discussing. I don't know what...
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Maybe Brady was mad because the previous drive actually ended with all the runs.
Oh.
That was the one that ended in the Green Ellis touchdown, but before that it was Woodhead run, Green Ellis.
They had all that success.
Morris. That led up to this drive, so maybe Brady was mad they were running too much.
So they had all that success, punched it in, then you get the ball back looking to run the clock out with 4 minutes left, and you line up.
Yeah, but are you saying the altercation came prior to this drive or post-drive?
Post, I think.
Oh, so it actually occurred
post,
at 3:04.
Yeah.
Well, after the Mesko 36-yard punt.
I was just
now I'm thoroughly confused.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we know it's an altercation.
I'm just saying that I feel like scoreboard would dictate there, 3 minutes left. You have an 8-point lead. You're running the clock.
Run the ball, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's
I don't
fair.
Think you need to have
for some reason
like a
they
change
were,
of philosophy.
There was a disagreement on the side.
I still think that this team, when it runs the clock out, can't do it, generally speaking,
running
exclusively on the ground.
I mean, I would say that they haven't been able to do that for a long time. And why would anything change?
Yeah, and that's not – I don't necessarily mean that as a –
No, it's just a fact.
As a denigration, because I think that you could say that about 28 out of the 32
sure.
teams in football.
Yeah.
When you want to line up and run a clock out, there aren't very many teams that can do that.
No.
They can run the ball three times when you know they're running it and they're going to stop.
Right.
And they're
like
going to get it.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh might be one that could do it. Baltimore,
Mendenhall
we're watching on NFL Network right now.
Ridiculous.
They have done it in the past. There's maybe a couple others that could do it.
Kansas City looks like they're getting to be a team.
Kansas
City is
a draw team. Kansas City is a spread them out and shoot.
No, but now they're running the ball.
People starting to wonder.
Jamal Charles.
Kansas City. I'm not saying they are, but the 2001 Patriots win ugly, baby. But just win. Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Scott Pioli.
Todd Haley was Paul's preseason.
Charlie Weiss in the hospital. Did you know that?
Yeah. Gallbladder.
Gallbladder that he put off.
Right.
He found out on Friday. Put it off through the weekend.
Right.
What happens if he had died?
I don't know.
Died.
If I mean, if he's not exactly the poster boy
of health.
He's had his issues before. If I found out I had something like that with an organ, don't you think you'd get it fixed?
CB from Waltham says,
CB,
this is what I found out if two timeouts can be called consecutively. Yes, however, the second timeout must be called before the referee blows his whistle, signal ball is ready for play and starting the 25-second clock. If the coach waits to call the second time until after the referee blows the whistle, signaling the ball ready to play, a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty is assessed.
That's not true.
Where is that from?
That's what he's reading. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there is a penalty now.
I'm telling you what they explained to us at these meetings when they come in the summer. And back then they said they are not to grant the second timeout. It's official error if they do. What you saw Sunday was official error.
And that's what he said. He reiterated it.
Well,
that's what they explained after that debacle in Arizona, and that's what they have done, and that's what the guy
actually,
said.
Craig is...
So if that's in the rule book, then it's
Craig
not interpreted.
Craig Byer is former employee here.
Wow, he has more to say in an email than he ever did when he was working here.
Oh, is that Captain Morgan?
So yes. So Craig,
CB.
If you could
like
tell
it.
Us the source of what you're doing.
I'm not buying it, especially now.
Paul doesn't believe you, so if you can get the source of this, that would be great.
That would be Nit and Wit. Who once appeared on the show, Craig would be Nit.
No, that was Tony and Chris.
Does it really matter?
Yeah,
does it really matter, Rock?
Wow, that must hurt them. Cut a little deep.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Chico.
What about it?
Aaron Hernandez, in case you didn't know.
It? Aaron Hernandez, another big week, leading the team in receiving yards, making plays, end arounds. I mean, are we talking about now a focal point of the offense?
Absolutely. I mean, it you know, and here's the thing, and you say, well, you know, eventually teams are going to see the tape and they're going to start shutting him down.
No, I'm just saying eventually they're going to see the tape, and when he cuts back to the inside, someone's going to kill
him.
Okay,
but
he does it every time.
It's really hard because, you know, wouldn't you say the same thing about Dallas Clark and Jason Witten and all these other tight ends? It's tough to cover these guys. You know, he's a matchup problem.
I agree.
You know?
He's a tight end who plays slot receiver. He is that role guy.
Yeah, I don't think people are saying that you're going to see him on tape and all of a sudden they're going to shut him down. I think he's too talented, Fred.
Yeah.
I think you're right. He's a matchup nightmare.
How they treat it and how that affects the rest of your team in terms of safeties, slot corners, because he lines up as a slot receiver. Well, you also have Wes Welker who's a slot receiver, and we've talked about over the years, you put a starting caliber corner in the slot. What does that do on the outside? I'm talking about dominoes to Moss and Tate and Gronkowski.
And he can get out into Brady's talking about when he says, you know, we have some flexibility here that a lot of teams don't have.
I thought that praise of the tight end position was just huge from Tom Brady, saying they are fortunate enough with that group to be able to do things that not many teams in the league can do. And it's basically, let's be honest, about the true draft picks. Crumpler is a very good blocker, but plenty of teams have good veteran blockers. I mean, you're talking about two rookies who have come in and filled the roles we expected of them almost exactly in weeks 1, 2, and 3.
It's amazing how, for one of the few times, what we saw in the draft and in camp actually became what we saw when the season started.
It's rare.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I think with Hernandez in particular, he's so athletic that they can do all the things that Brady talked about. And he can do them all equally well. I mean, he can line up in the backfield and get out into a pass route. He can get him in motion, and you can get him slotted out wide. I just think it's a huge advantage. And I agree with you, Fred. I don't think that once they get that on tape, some of his little idiosyncrasies are going to show up, like Andy's cutback move. But the ability to get the ball to him, I think he's going to have that as long as he's healthy.
Now, I got to ask a question that maybe I was asleep at the wheel a little bit.
Probably.
Obviously, he's talented, more talented than the average fourth-round pick probably. All the stuff came out about the drug test and how many there were and what it did. I saw Ron Borges on TV last night saying there was more than just drug tests, that there was concerns from some teams he'd talked to had removed him from their board altogether. And a lot of it had to do with crowds he ran with and things of that nature. Have you guys seen that anywhere?
No. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There was, I don't know any of it to be accurate, but yeah, there was stuff about him. When he was going through, he went through some serious stuff when he lost his dad. And there was a time, because I did his draft profile. And there was a time that his mother had really kind of lost him, to her admission. I read a pretty in-depth feature about Hernandez from Florida.
What's the timeline on this? When is this?
Maybe 2 years, 3 years ago. You know, middle of his collegiate career. This is around the time he got suspended. He was using marijuana a lot. And it was in the aftermath. His dad had died when he was 16, I want to say, and he just didn't handle it. His mother said the quote that stuck out to me was saying that he just wasn't a very pleasant person to be around.
Right, I remember that. I read that. Yes.
And I think that some of that may have,
but to me that
morphed into
different than
it's a to yeah, me it's I a guess. Drug it's a drug culture. To me,
if you're around people that smoke marijuana that aren't part of a drug culture.
No,
I mean, there's a difference there.
And
this implication was
he was probably running around with a crowd that had in common was drugs.
That's the point.
See,
that
I hadn't
was trying to make.
I hadn't heard that. I thought he just used marijuana. And to me, there's a big difference there. Josh Hamilton, the guy who's this great comeback story, was doing crack in trailer parks like they make movies about. Those are two different things to me, and there's a big difference there. I think there's plenty of guys in this league, maybe even on this team, who are marijuana smokers. In their life, have smoked marijuana. I don't believe that they've run with the wrong crowds.
You mean the NBA?
Any league, any professional, any business.
Any organization that has a couple hundred employees, to me,
I'm just kidding.
10% of those employees are marijuana users.
Oh, sure.
But there's a difference between that and...
It's not even illegal in Massachusetts anymore.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a misdemeanor or whatever. It's a $100 fine. It's still illegal. The cops still stop you and assess you a penalty for it. But to me, there's a difference between that, between running with the wrong... When I think running with the wrong crowd, I think bad stuff, like more than just buying a little bag of weed on the corner and smoking it. Anyway.
That's the stories that were out there about Hernandez anyway.
All right. We got a lot of emails and a lot of show left, and we'll get to all of that right after this.
When I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information, I go to PFW in Progress.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
Wow. You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello? So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I got it, too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. talking about the game. Later on in the week, of course, we'll start turning our attention to the Miami Dolphins. That's going to be a huge game. Any of you guys see the game, the Jets and Miami game? Did you watch
some
any of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were working, but, you know, we got home, I think. It's probably mid-second quarter by the time we got home, something like that.
Well, for you, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of us don't live a stone's throw from the stadium.
Well, you guys leave when I'm still reading. I mean, you get your pages out there and you're like, see you
but
later.
By the time I walked to my car deep in the woods of Foxborough, it was
I was
already,
able to see
Monday.
The second half.
Yeah.
Great game. Really entertaining game to watch. A lot of big plays, both sides.
What do we make of the fact that Sanchez had two such games in a row against, we think, a good defense?
I'll
is Sanchez
would,
that good?
I'll tell you
or
what I would
does
say.
Does Miami have some holes that
what I would say
maybe
is
Brady can take advantage of?
Rut-row raggy. Because if he plays like that, that's a really, really good football team.
That's I agree. Yeah.
Except for the fact that my guy Sean Green was not quite
wasn't
Thomas
bad.
Jones again.
He wasn't bad in that game.
He finished with like 37 yards.
Yeah, I know, but he ran well. Did you didn't even watch it. You just said you didn't see it.
He finished with 37 yards.
What did he have, five
well
carries?
I don't believe so. I think it was like 12 for 37.
No, Miami's defense, you know, both teams.
I'm surprised he had that many carries.
Played well in terms of defense, I thought.
Well, I think they both have good defenses.
Yeah, I think they do.
Both teams, they're mirror images on some level of each other. Good, well-rounded defenses. Quarterback, what's the question? Quarterback.
Lunch today is brought to us by
a man of leisure.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew. Thank you, James. And he has an email here that he wants us to read. And, of course, if you buy us lunch, you get an email read. It's a good trade, right?
And you buy it every week, yeah. Right. Get whatever the hell you want. I'll be over later if you need any help.
Dear men of PFW, I can say that as I presume Eric is not there. firstly, let me thank you all for letting me stop by and meet you guys. It was a great pleasure and in the most top five most interesting things I've ever done.
No freaking way. You've been in
right.
like war zones and now you're rich and you sold company.
I would also don't recommend lie. The experience to any listener to that end. Also, let me apologize to anyone who wasn't interested in donkeys, gherkins, or being homoerotic. Actually, we had
donkeys, gherkins, and homoerotic in the same.
We had an emailer who said it was one of our more interesting interviews. So,
well, you give us good material like that, and we'll go with it.
I feel a little too depressed to speak about the Bills, so let me steer the conversation briefly. I was watching the NFL Network. When the top 10 passing combinations came on, produced in 2007, apologies if you've already done this bit and I didn't hear it, but here's the list below. Where would the Brady-Moss combo appear or maybe Brady-Welker appear? What would they have to do over the next few years if they don't make the list today? So the list really quickly, starting from 10, working my way up, is Jim Zorn and Steve Largent, John Hadle and Lance Allworth, Ken Stabler and Fred Biletnikoff, Artie Herber and Don Hudson, Troy Fakeman and Michael Crackpipe Irvin, Jim Kelly and Andre Reed, Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Steve Young and Jerry Rice, and Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. Well, the problem is, you know,
I think you could put Brady and Moss maybe around five.
Right after Kelly and Reed or before Kelly and Reed?
Maybe before them.
Yeah.
Bigger plays. I mean, I know that Reed had a lot of catches.
Mm-hmm.
But big plays and for dynamic kind of combinations, touchdowns.
Where was Aikman and Irvin?
Aikman and Irvin were six right, you know, behind Kelly and Reed.
Yeah, they're right in that range.
Yeah.
I would probably put Aikman and Irvin ahead just because it was a longer.
They did it longer.
Span.
Yeah. And they won Super Bowls together.
And they built
together.
Their titles on right, it. I think right. that gives them the advantage. Kind of right in behind there. Slip them in. On a banana peel.
Stabler and Biletnikoff is eight. That was a good one.
Who'd they play for?
Raiders.
I'm just kidding.
Finally, let me give a bit of a shout-out to Kevin. If the poor man does his job perfectly, nobody notices. If he makes a mistake, everyone's all over him. He's like a cornerback.
Or a long snapper.
He seems to be at the mercy of subpar technology, everyone wandering in and out of his work area and constantly being berated. If that isn't hazing, Paul. Tell me what is. Anywho, stay thirsty, my friends. That's James Pettigrew.
Well, James, you're right. We wouldn't notice him if he was doing his job right, but unfortunately,
we notice him a lot.
We notice him every show.
Terrible. He's smiling. He knows we're only kidding. 508-543-7482 is the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And joining us right now is Tyrone from Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah, I'm sorry about my little rant last week. I think Andy called me a little cuckoo when I got home and I heard it. I sounded a little crazy myself, so I understand.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I was a little emotional there because, you know, part of that emotion because, you know, it's a little slow at the port here in Wilmington. And, you know, in order to watch the Patriots, I got to pay the NFL Sunday ticket. So, you know, I'm giving up my all. So I'm like, once somebody return, I just feel a little cheated because of what they putting on the field. I mean, it's so, like, that defense, you know, I was watching, like, the other defense Sunday, St. Louis and the Eagles defense. And I'll pick even Seattle. You know, do you know Lawyer Malloy is playing for Seattle?
Yep.
Yeah, Seattle hold Chargers to 20 points. And that's a decent, you know, that's decent. If the defense just halfway good as the offense, because the offense, I can't really complain about the offense. You know, I can't, you know, Danny Woodhead, I was trying to call when we got him, because I saw him against the Eagles last year in preseason, and he was tearing it up. I'm surprised that nobody picked him up. So, you know, that was a good acquisition, the offense, but the defense, it was the problem. And I want to ask a question, because when I hanged up last week, you guys were saying, that it wasn't about the money why we got players. Well, if it wasn't about the money, why Vinatieri's still not here and why Deion Branch is still here? And you guys was talking about the system because I was talking about Julius Peppers because I see all Julius Peppers play last night, man. You know, I wish if we had that guy, man, the sky would have been the limit. So I wanted to know if it's not about those two things, what is about them?
Or the two things? It's about money is definitely a part of it.
Well, I think it's case by case. Julius Peppers, it's definitely about money.
Right. If he were
was looking for a big contract, and I don't think the Patriots were willing to.
I mean, that knocked on the door of $100 million, right? I don't know if it's real or not. It was like 96.
Yeah,
or
they have the escape clause there that they can get out of, and make it more of a 1 year deal. But I think if the Patriots could have gotten him for a short term contract, they would have been interested. But yeah, money had a lot. I think money had a lot to do with him.
Okay. Well, if they coming out and say your Patriots come out and say because we can't win with that defense. I mean, our offense got to score, especially against Green Bay. I think we got Pittsburgh. See how Pittsburgh is. They won. Did they lose the game yet? I don't even think they lost a game without Big Ben. They got a whole team around. You know, they got a team structure. So you know, they got a bunch of good players and. If Tom Brady go down or he got suspended for four games, I don't think we win one game. And, you know, it's just, you know, I'm thinking, that I'm looking at our schedule. I'm thinking we might go 8-8, 9-7. That's about it. I don't even think we're going to make the playoffs because that defense got too much holes. But, and I want to ask another question. Do you think we have to start playing press and bump and man a little bit more? Because that zone is not good.
Not if Darius Butler can't make plays. I mean, you're going to count on corners to make plays there, right?
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, I think you're in a tough spot, you know, defensively. I think that you might have to start doing some more things to generate pressure to help them out, but at the same time, that's going to put more pressure on the guys covering.
Yeah. To me, that was another one, unfortunately, another thing we hit on. I mean, we've been saying forever, the pass rush is not NFL caliber. And it's not. They just don't have one. Even when they get runaway guys, Ninkovich I made fun of for missing. Last week it was Tully Bantakane who had I'll call it a Dan Klecko sack, except he missed it. Luckily, Mayo swoops in and actually cleaned up the scraps. But do you think DeMarcus Ware, A, would ever be unblocked, and B, would miss it the time he's unblocked? No, you can't be unblocked and
miss
the guy.
You have to get there fast because, like Paul said, now you're leaving yourself vulnerable. These corners, you know, they're left alone. If you're gonna blitz, you got it. You can't be hesitant.
But
about
I'm even
it. You
saying
you have to just do it.
Bantakane, that my point is, he's a 10 sack guy. He's supposedly your best pass rusher, right? And he's getting runaway opportunities. So that tells you how much other teams think of Tully Bantakane. They would not make the mistake of missing Julius Peppers or missing DeMarcus Ware.
Right. They would know where he is on every snap.
There is no guy
that they care about.
From a pass rush.
Well, it tells me they're focusing elsewhere. Maybe they're worried about Wilfork collapsing the pocket. They're kind of distracted.
Yep.
The only thing I think you have to look at, and I agree with the concern about the defense, but you have to look at the offense. And the offense is going to give the team a chance to win every week. And, you know, there's going to be weeks like this week where you just outscore the team.
Yeah. But in the playoffs?
No.
Because the Bills won't be in that conversation.
But I'm talking about the original point was 8-8, 9-7. I don't think they're a playoff team. Well, I think they're going to be a little better than that just because of how good that offense is. Now, it's got to stay healthy, too. That's a big part of it. You start losing some pieces to that offense.
Oh, forget it.
Now, I'm not even talking about Brady. That's obvious.
No,
but
Welker, I mean, or Moss, if you
Hernandez.
If you lose a Moss or a Hernandez even, who thought that we would be saying something like that?
Right.
I think that could drastically impact,
I mean, you've lost Falk.
Or Green Ellis. So. I mean, they're to the point where some of these names we wouldn't have said counting on, if you lose them, how does it look?
I do think they have the ability, though, to win 10 games just because of offense. I think this is a flawed team for sure, but they're so good offensively.
But they got to beat the Dolphins. They got to beat the Jets. You got to beat them out.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't say they were locked to make the playoffs, Andy.
Thanks for the call, Tyrone.
You remember, I had an argument on sports radio last year with someone who said that the basement, the absolute bottom, is 11 wins.
You had an argument with a career contrarian.
I mean, I don't know how you can look at this team so far and say the absolute worst they could be is 11-5.
No, you can't say that.
I mean, I think you could pick them to go 11-5.
Right.
If you're saying that we're going to get better on defense and some things are going to fall into place, and I think Bill will coach them up and they'll get better. I think you can make a sound argument for that.
Right.
But to say that it can't get worse than 11-5 based on giving up 30 points to the Buffalo Bills?
You know, we talked the last couple of weeks about confidence, whether it's false or real. But we talked about confidence. Confidence can go two ways. It can go up. Or, like, in the case of Darius Butler, maybe, it could go down. And if it goes down on this defense, now you are talking about maybe 8-8. You know, so a lot of things can happen here, you know.
Not to mention.
We're banking on the fact that the defense gets better. But,
We talked about the Jets early in the year and could a divide develop if Mark Sanchez stinks and he's not never. Well, could a divide develop here if the defense is terrible and the offense each week?
Yeah. I thought about that a lot after the game the other day, and I didn't necessarily. I asked a lot of offensive players if they felt pressure to score, and I asked some defensive players if they felt pressure that the offense was bailing them out. And I don't think we've gotten to that point, but I thought about it.
I thought about
some of that stuff.
Week three.
The way the game was unfolding and the way that the locker room sort of unfolded Sunday. It was a funny locker room. I got the impression that Bill sort of
poo-pooed it.
When he made that quote, Andy, it doesn't matter if it's 3-2 or 50-49. And to me, that was not a Belichick-like quote, because it used to matter to him if it was 50-49. He didn't like to win like that.
Right. On this timeout, a couple people have emailed in pointing to the game in which Joe Gibbs forgot the rule. I guess Lindell had made a 51-yard attempt that didn't count because Gibbs called timeout just as the ball was snapped. Gibbs then called another timeout as Lindell lined up a second time, but consecutive timeouts aren't allowed in the NFL, and they result in 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty when specifically called to freeze the kicker.
Okay. So that, you know what? I remember the game they're talking about.
I do too. And afterwards,
that was the Sean Taylor game.
Gibbs said he didn't even know the rule.
It was the Sean Taylor game. Mm-hmm. It was the game after Sean Taylor died. And they lost it on made that field goal 15 yards closer.
So for kicking.
So, Craig, Nitt, you are correct. But for a kicker.
Right. Okay. So, all right.
So the coach can't do it. That might be the difference.
Web radio
if a player
at Patriots.com,
does it, they're supposed to ignore it. Maybe that's the difference.
Yeah. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Yes, and on the ace ticket hotline.
Andy has a very pensive
look. I'm thinking about situations. And
Andy has a pensive look.
Who calls the timeout,
deep
when it's called.
Thoughts
I still
by
say,
Andy
though,
Hart.
That, you know, if it's a non-kicking situation and, you know, you've just called a timeout on defense – and you do want to disrupt the quarterback. If you're hopping in front of him, call timeout,
even though the ref is supposed to ignore you, it's tough for that other, for the quarterback to ignore you, and it could be disruptive.
There's a lot of things that's tough for a quarterback to ignore.
I know.
Get over it.
Yeah.
But he,
it's still not taken away from the fact that the situation was contradictory on Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
And I keep going back to that game.
To be fair, the ref did say there's no 5-yard penalty. Yeah. Maybe he was omitting the part that there's a 15-yard penalty.
I keep going back to that Baltimore game from last year when late in the game, we tried that fake field goal, and we got called for an illegal formation. So it called it back, and there was a pool report that day. To me, what was in question was whether or not they gained the line to make for the first down. That was very close. That seemingly never came up in the discussion, and all they talked about was why the fake field goal was disallowed, and they ended up kicking the field goal, which was three huge points in that game. If you recall, it was 27-21. Would have been 24-21 if that had been ruled short of the first down. They could have declined the penalty. We'll never know because they never asked it in the pool report.
Who's they?
I don't know. Who's the pool reporter? I don't know.
Mike Reese.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't know that.
Carl writes
Paul
in,
Perillo ripping you, Mike.
With very tall...
You know better than to take anything I say seriously.
With very tall, strong, and fast wide receivers and huge pass-catching tight ends, is it reasonable to expect a 5'8 cornerback to have any chance of covering them repeatedly without committing offensive interference? When you combine this with poor pass rush with no quarterback... can succeed, is it any wonder the Pats defense has trouble getting off the field on third down? Therefore, if drafting and free agency address these obvious problems, would one think that there would be less problems with the defense? Maybe combining a second or third round wasted draft choice with a mid-round first rounder would allow the Pats to move up and get real playmakers at outside linebacker, defensive end, or cornerback. Free agency is off course, of course, is more of a crapshoot, and the Pats recently got burned with AT. Why have the Jets and Dolphins and Colts been so much more successful at finding necessary defensive talent? You know, I was looking at, a lot of the...
I don't think the Colts have great defensive talent, by the way.
I was just going to say, you know, when I was looking at the great defensive players, you know, with the exception of, like, Champ Bailey and Charles Woodson, who did switch teams, most of the teams that have, like, great defensive players, they drafted those guys. And they were brought up in their system, and they've become like the centerpiece of their defense. Very, very rarely, you know, is it free agency that you build defense. Usually build through the draft. And I have to say, you know, Wilfork was a good pick. Maybe, but they haven't drafted well when it comes to defense.
Well, they haven't drafted great. That's the discussion we've had. There's been certain picks that were great in the first round and certain picks that were good.
I mean, Seymour was a great pick.
Vince Wilfork, I would say, was a great pick. Ty Warren was not a great pick.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo looks like he's not going to be a great pick.
You know,
they're not busts.
That's the difference.
They were good picks.
And I would contend in order to become a really good defense, you need those great drafts.
And Merriweather goes defense. The other way. He's going from a good pick to a bad pick as he doesn't play.
You know, so we can talk about Peppers, and I think Peppers would help this team. I'm not stupid enough to say that, he wouldn't be any good here because he can't play in this system. He's a great athlete. He'd be a good player. But I think more so when you're talking about your defense, you got to draft well.
Well, it just makes it easier. You don't have to think about Julius Peppers. Yeah. If Sean Crable were great, you wouldn't be talking Julius Peppers because you have Sean Crable.
Right, right.
When you miss on your draft pick, that's when you need to see, well, how else can I do it, trade or free agency?
And I think skill position players and offense are different. I think, you can draft those, obviously, and do well, but you can pick up a guy who's a great receiver, like a Brandon Marshall.
He's going to get on your team,
and he's going to be great.
That's a position I think that is
usually because they're troubled.
But I think that's a specific position that's much easily transferable from one team to another. Now, I know the Patriots have had some problems with some wide receivers, but I think for the most part, as a general rule, I think Fred's right. I think put a defensive player into your scheme, and there's more uncertainty there, I think, than like a skilled guy.
Right.
A running back or we saw Michael Turner as a free agent, for example. You're a running back, you could probably go to another team and be just as productive. Wide receivers, we've seen a bunch. Bolden's lighting it up right now.
Joey Galloway, Brandon, Donald Hayes.
I said we've had our problems. The Patriots have had our problems. Listen, I can give you a laundry list. It's not just there's a million guys that you don't even remember.
No, I know
that this team has picked up as wide receivers that haven't panned out. But I think if you look around the league, for the most part, those guys they tend to transfer well.
Yeah,
And I don't really, I'm not thinking off the top of my head of a lot of really impactful free agent defensive players.
Reggie White.
Sure. Okay. There's a Hall of Famer. My hat is tipped to you, young Andy. You came up with.
Carlos Dansby would be this offseason's version.
Yeah, we'll
franchise.
See.
Dansby looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He played really well the other night.
Yeah, he sure did.
Peppers is an immense talent.
Yeah.
I would have loved Peppers, and I think Bill would have too. I think Bill would have loved to
pay $90 million
for it. I mean that, but unfortunately, that's part of the deal. You got to pay for that kind of talent. How?
Well, if you're not going to give your quarterback $90 million, Paul, how are you going to give your outside linebacker?
Will you stop with the quarterback's money? My goodness, he's not going broke anytime soon.
No,
he's not going to be working at the soup. He's not going to need the soup kitchen to help him out. But I wonder, you know, just imagine how much different even this defense could look with all the question marks that we have if you had DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
Or if you had
a
Julius
guy
Peppers.
That the other team has to game plan for.
Just one difference. Just one guy. We'll substitute Jermaine Cunningham for DeMarcus Ware. I mean, that would change the entire...
So Ninkovich is still playing?
No, TBC on the other side.
Well, last week it was Cunningham and Ninkovich. Right? Well,
but you know the point. You get the point, right, Big Head?
Well,
Fred.
I actually believe the position is so bare bones that you need two. You need the top guy, and then you might need the secondary guy and have Vanta Kane come
off the bench. Well, give us Dwight Freeney and DeMarcus Ware.
I think the defense would be much better, Paul. You're right.
WebRadioPatriots.com is the email address. Joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482 is Anthony from Naples. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. How you doing?
Crowd sounded good on Sunday, huh?
What's that?
Crowd sounded good on Sunday, huh? Wasn't that your last rant last time you were on here? Fix the crowd? Sure.
I still wasn't impressed. It was all right, I guess.
I wasn't really either.
it's a lot probably to do with the stadium. I don't know. Anyways, I'm not called to talk about that. That's your guys' problem. You need to create the noise.
Not my problem. I'm in the press box. It's quiet in there.
Yeah, I guess more or less my rant was just it feels like every time you guys talk to Doc or whoever his name is, it seems like excuses.
Well, yeah,
that's
really
Kevin.
But that has nothing to do with crowd noise. That's any question you ask them what day it is, and they'd have an excuse for the name of the day.
Well, it would have been Tuesday, but you know, it's really
not
Wednesday.
My fault it's not Tuesday. It's Monday. What do you want me to tell you?
I'm not the director of event presentation.
That's more or less what I get sick and tired of hearing. It's just always excuses. Well, we can't do anything because the league won't let us. It's like, well, then be innovative. Don't go to the league first and say, hey, we're going to do this. You know, just do it.
I agree.
Until they stop you,
yeah, until you get fired.
Until you get fined and fired.
Ah, cry me a river. But that wasn't why you called today, Anthony. Why'd you call?
I actually called about the Kevin Falk thing because before the game. Now listen, don't take this bad, but I almost felt like the Falk thing. I'm trying to take a positive out of it. I felt like they was going to open up the playbook a little bit and make him a little bit more innovative.
Less predictable, maybe.
What's that?
I'll give you less predictable.
Yeah, a little bit less predictable. I felt like he was a crutch, and I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but, you know, instead of chucking it up 10 times to Moss down the field, they probably valued those first and second downs because they felt like, hey, we don't have Falk down there where we could pick up a first down with a draw. You know, I felt like they always do that a lot. So, and I was happy to see in the game, you know, offensively, it looked a little bit better, but yet again, it's the Bills. You know, and it's just, I almost can tell by the tone of you guys talking, it's like almost collectively, Patriots fans are like, eh, you know, you talk about it, yeah, it's a win, but, and there's always a but at the end of it.
We went into the game saying we're going to know more about this team if they lose and if they win.
They were this close to losing.
Yeah, well, I don't think they were that close.
They missed it, but.
And I feel like I know more about the team. I agree with Fred. I don't think it's going the way he wanted
to
go.
You don't think they were close to losing?
They were close enough.
Nah.
Yeah. So a lot of games that are blowouts come down to onside kicks.
You know, the only thing
that the other team gets their hands on, right?
Well, maybe the defensive troubles. I'm just trying to be optimistic. Well, maybe they didn't have enough film of Fitzpatrick.
They played him last year.
What's that?
They played him last year.
I know they did, Paul. I'm just trying to.
Negative Paul is? He won't even let you play, Mr. Positive, on the radio.
But I mean Fitzpatrick specifically. They've played against him last year.
Anthony Sanchez was just reaching for possibilities of positive. You. Fred has dropped the ball there.
If we want to talk about positive stuff, and I think I started the show with it, let's keep it to offense. Anything we want to talk about offensively, I'm all for. I'm waving the pom-poms because I think this is a great offense. I think it might be the very best offense in football. But I refuse to find a positive out of the 11 guys that played on defense Sunday, any of them.
Well, Maserati brought out a good point. At least the two balls that were thrown in the safety's way, at least they caught him.
That's true. Could have bounced off their chests.
You know, I thought that was actually pretty clever by Maserati, so you got to give him credit for that one. But, you know, this defense is just frustrating. You know, I've always thought that Bill is stubborn, you know, with some of the things that he does, you know, how he doesn't make, like, coach changes, or he doesn't hire from the outside, you know, to bring him within. And I almost feel like his philosophy now is kind of hurting him, you know, and it's like...
That's interesting.
I just feel like...
The whole defensive system thing, I wonder if maybe...
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of the great coaches have been able to adapt over time, and
exactly.
He seems to be unwilling to bend with his requirements for specific spots on his system.
Mike Lombardi, what was the quote? This game today is basketball on grass, and you have to have athletes out there. The days of the big, strong, two-gap, read-and-react guys may be over.
Yeah, and my thing is, as in his philosophy, that was fine. You got to realize when he came into the Patriots, or even before then, you know, it was more of a run-oriented type game, you know. But then the Colts cried enough, and they got the rule changes, or they emphasized the rule where you can't touch the wide receivers down the field, so you can't play that type of defense anymore. And my aggravation is, all right, Bill, you don't have the horses, but you know what? Why don't you do some stunts and some blitzes? You know what I mean? Try to mix it up, because the offense is going to win. The way the rules are set, you could be great on offense. You don't have to have that much talent, because they're not going to touch you down the field. So why doesn't he, like, mix it up instead of this base vanilla defense? Just let's stop the run and see what they give us. Don't make mistakes. Let them make the mistakes. Well, you know what? To me, it's not working.
Well, I would agree, because I think if you try to do those long drives, old bend but don't break, sooner or later the defense is more likely to make a mistake with how young it is and inexperienced it is than the offense they're facing.
I agree.
Yeah, take advantage of the athleticism, you know what I mean? Have them blitz. Have them come off corners.
I agree.
I got jealous last night. I get jealous, and I'm like Rod Marinelli, who is not a defensive genius, but man, I'll tell you, those Bears looked damn good last night.
Well, they've always been about the opposite of the Patriots. They've always lived and died by the big play. We're going to go after the football. We're going
to
blitz. We're going
to
make plays.
In Chicago?
And
yeah. Even though there's theoretically this cover 2, Tampa 2 scheme.
I didn't see the game last night. All I know is, Fred, you said they had 18 penalties, Green Bay?
Yeah, Green Bay did.
Yeah. I mean, defensive schemes
franchise record.
Defensive schemes tend to look good when the other team's committing 18 penalties. I didn't see any of the game, though, so I couldn't. Anthony, don't take that as a shot.
They were really undisciplined. In fact, one of the Green Bay players had an altercation with a Bear fan after
the game.
I saw that. So.
I didn't see the game, so they
may
have blitzed their way to force those penalties. I didn't see any of it.
In general, the Bears have always been about a big play on defense. We're going to go for it. We're going to try to make plays. I definitely wouldn't be opposed to the Patriots taking that. I'll take my lumps. I'd rather take my lumps on that than just, as Anthony said, sit back, we're going to play, read and react, and when we're reacting, it's to the scoreboard changing for the other team.
Exactly. And it's just, they only scored 17 points. Yeah, they had, 18 penalties on defense, but what's the end result? 17 points, and that's Green Bay. They're a juggernaut on offense. Juggernaut.
Well, they're a one-dimensional juggernaut who doesn't have a running game now. They run Bowie Kuhn or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah, you know what?
It's Andy's
the
dream
commissioner
offense.
Of baseball, Bowie Kuhn.
But, it's hard for me to realize. I mean, how many points did 18 penalties cost them?
Yeah.
You know,
seven.
It's like, you know, people.
They couldn't run the ball.
The previous caller talked about Seattle. They gave 550 yards of offense.
Yeah.
And they only allowed 20 points. Yeah, but, I mean, obviously they were very fortunate to only allow 20 points.
All right, Anthony. Well, thanks for calling.
Take it easy. Bye.
Okay. Anthony from Naples checking in.
Still unhappy with the crowd, Anthony.
Yeah, that's right.
And Kevin.
But I'm all for that.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
But Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
On the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Excuses is the word you're looking for.
Let's see. Nano writes in. Nano follows very closely to curse words during the game. He says,
he's the guy.
I'm not going to rehash the same points about how bad the defense looks. Instead, let's get right to the positives from the Bills game. The Pats won, and curse words were great. For those who didn't follow, here are my top four favorite moments. Fred posting a comment from Harry Seward in Maine that mentioned the widespread of the Pats-Bills game. Hey, you know, it is what it is.
I agree.
Two, the advertisements that kept popping up, which started with, "It takes 2 hours to poison a dog." It was as if Ron Mexico himself was buying ad space.
Is this advertising on that?
Yeah, there is now.
they want me to pay money per month if I don't want advertising. So I figured I'd give it a week, see what the ads were like, and then
the ad was about dogs.
I don't know what I don't know what that ad was about.
I'd pay the money for it. It's only, you know, that's a half step away from porn.
Three, speaking of freaking out, the way Fred had to tell everyone he was taking away their belts and shoelaces, even though at the time we had the lead and the ball. You should have seen the comments. It was like the end of the world. That's why I said
that. Well, Fred, you were one of them that should have had your belt and shoelaces taken away.
Yeah, he had already strapped it to the pipe above the press box, and he was starting
to latch around his neck. I got to be honest with you, as disappointing as that game was in the way they played, never once did I feel like the game was going to be lost.
That's what I said. You guys just made fun of
me. But I didn't say that they didn't come close to losing.
No, but you felt it's one of those games where you felt that they were going to win.
Not because of the way the game was going. I felt they were going to win because of the opponent.
Well, whatever.
If the game went the same exact way, played out the same exact way against the Jets, I would have thought they were going to lose.
But yes, because of the opponent. That's a factor why you didn't think yes. even though
But I'm not the one that needed the paddles during the third quarter, Fred. You were beside yourself with anxiety in that game on Sunday. Don't turn this to me and Andy problem.
The fourth thing is he said the chick who likes Eric, saying that she is physically attracted to Eric, but that in the interest of full disclosure, she admitted that she usually likes girls.
Usually,
that
not always.
That would be a good get for Eric.
He can be that.
A lesbian?
Like, yeah. Oh. Who kind of still likes, you know, penis.
Oh.
Okay.
Because he's a girl that has penis.
Can we put the brakes on here, please?
Also, says Nano, I need to mention that in the latest PFW TV show, Old Man Perillo gave his points in his office in front of a big poster of Drew Bledsoe. Maybe next time Glory Days can be playing in the background. So sad, so very sad.
Thanks, Nano.
So, Nano you doesn't
look
miss
forward,
a beat.
You can look forward to that each and every week on PFW TV.
Look forward to
Nano doesn't miss
see
a beat.
It each and every week.
I don't know why you have to be so negative.
We had a bad taping today. I'm not going to lie, guys.
Listen, you're the only one who thinks that.
Ratings are going to plummet.
You didn't like it?
Nope.
Not enough arguing?
I don't Fred, know. Can you do me a favor? Can you explain to Andy that if indeed you have a bad show,
yes,
that doesn't affect ratings until the following week?
That's right.
Because
they don't know going in.
He keeps saying that we're
going
to have a bad rating this week because he feels like he didn't
see,
I said, well, that's last week's show's fault then.
That's right.
Not this week.
But they're
they don't know it's a bad show.
No, they're going to watch the morning meeting and click away and never come back.
I think you get the rating, though, don't you? Or
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really
especially
believe
with
in ratings.
Especially
as much as
with
I promoted
segment.
Them over the last 2 weeks, I don't believe in ratings. I think it's the stupidest thing on the planet.
Oh, it is.
Because nobody I know files ratings.
That segment goes on forever, so if we get to watch that segment, we're all set.
Plus, we didn't have our inspirational leader, our producer
our
today.
Creative mind.
He was sick.
What's his name, Fred?
Tori Champagne.
He makes me laugh with that every time. That's why I asked for it.
He's got his little director's jacket on and everything.
Today we had Moose running the show.
Yeah.
Which went very smooth right up until the final segment. We had a really hard time getting the trash talk done.
Was that right?
Well, we showed up at the hall, and we usually do it on the third floor, and we walk in, and there was already, like, totally Patriots taping in front of a live studio audience.
That's good.
Some ladies
TV
yelling
shows.
At us, telling us, close the elevator, get out. She, like, flailing her arms.
Andy, I meant to talk to you about that whole segment, too, because when Paul speaks, I noticed in last week's show, you're just kind of staring off into the distance.
I mean,
trash talk?
Yeah, you might want to work on
that. Well, he outdid himself this week. He forgot which side he was arguing in the middle of the with this week.
So I left it open-ended.
Waste
my
management's
first
not
that's
gonna,
it.
Waste
just
management's
because,
not going to be happy
just
about
he
that.
Didn't have a good show. He thinks the whole show's terrible.
Oh, yeah, it's
but
not
I,
me.
But again, I would reiterate, that means last week's show was bad if our rating goes down. Not this week's, because they don't know what they're not seeing this week.
That's right.
They don't know what they're not
but
seeing.
But generally,
exactly.
generally, when you're arguing against Paul, you might want to pay attention to what he's saying. So
why?
You know, that's
why
saying.
Start now?
Yeah, I usually save that just for the podcast when I'm not paying attention to what you're saying.
I'm not a TV guy.
Fair enough.
Max in New Hampshire
just
says...
Just kicking ass on TV.
Max in New Hampshire says the D-line seemed to be playing a very straightforward game against the Bills as opposed to the first two games. There was no linebacker or lineman moving or misdirection before the snap. Was the idea just to contain the running backs and let a new quarterback try to make plays? It's becoming obvious that plan isn't helping the Patriots' young defensive backs run around trying to cover receivers for 5 seconds or even 2 seconds. Does Belichick get more aggressive up front with more and better blitz packages against Miami? I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
my days of calling for more blitzing seem to be coming to an end because we just do it so often, and they do it at various times. Late in the year, over the last couple of years, I think they've done it a little bit more with Merriweather and Chung a little bit last year, but he just doesn't seem to do it that much. Get these exotic blitzes.
Yeah. When they had the play that you're talking about where Fantikan comes clean off the edge. No one blocked him.
Yeah.
Mayo ended up cleaning up the mess and getting the sack. Is that a blitz?
Yeah. But I'm bored by those.
No, I'm not necessarily. I'm not. I'm just
no
saying,
offense to my guy Jimmy Sanders, but I'm sick of seeing Jimmy Sanders and Gerard Mayo not get there.
I think the vanilla excuse is just that. It's an excuse. I don't think they're always vanilla.
No, now, I would agree.
Do they always send Brandon Merriweather on safety blitzes? No, they don't. You know, like the big play in Seattle.
But part of it
years
is the guys aren't that good. And no offense to the guys, but I watched Charles Woodson do it last night off the corner, and he got picked up like James Sanders does, but he kept at it and ended up impacting the play. Because Cutler bounced around, but where I think Jimmy Sanders is done, he's blocked, the play is over, he spun off, he remained active in the play, and it caused Cutler to move three times instead of just once. Because I think a lot of quarterbacks can avoid an initial rush, can, you know, Tom Brady it, slide left, slide right, step, whatever.
I agree.
But not too many can make two or three moves to keep a play alive. And that's what I just see, and again, I don't want to, James Sanders to me is the epitome of it. They send him often enough. I've rarely seen it have an impact on a play.
And that's your guy.
And that's my guy. It just proves that I can have a critical eye with anyone.
I think they have, I mean, listen, they can try to do some different things. And I do think they're going to have to find a way, different ways, to get some pressure on the passer. I don't think there's any question about that. But I don't think the be-all, end-all is this vanilla. It's not always vanilla. It's right now, they're having a hard time with vanilla. You know, so until you get that fixed and improve on that, I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah, but against teams,
maybe
that
you need a Gerard Cherry on top.
Absolutely, or Juwan.
thank you, Pablo in Mexico City.
Why
says
bringing special teamers in on defense.
I'm just kidding. I was looking for some addition to ice cream that I could was a player as well.
See, I'm borderline ready, and I don't want to give up yet because I'm in this weird. Do I want to see the young guys just try to develop and eventually they'll be good? Or go the other way? Screw the...
Screw them!
No, go to like Rocky Road with eight other flavors. Just throw it out there and see what happens. You're young, right?
Right.
You're supposedly faster and more athletic, right?
Right.
Okay, let's try to take more advantage of that.
Well,
take it to them. Punch them in the mouth instead of waiting to get punched in the mouth and kicked
maybe
in the nuts.
Maybe he's just building toward that. He doesn't want to, you know...
But I don't think you build towards that. You just go after it.
Well, we'll see.
Because I don't see Jermaine Cunningham. I still don't see that first step that he's going to become this guy
Why
who's
do
a
you
dynamic
get mad
edge rusher.
That we're concerned
no,
about some of the young guys
the same
that
thing
we picked
over and over again. I think we've
but if we were saying the same thing over and over again about Aaron Hernandez, you don't get
no,
mad.
No, we'd go to the next thing.
No, but we've been saying the same positive things about Aaron Hernandez every week. You don't get mad.
So
about
you're like
mad.
That guy from Malden who says we shouldn't talk about the defense not being good enough.
Who said that?
I don't know. Some guy from Malden.
The guy from Malden says we hammer
on this
home
show?
The outside linebacker.
He said we talked too much this summer about the outside linebacker position.
Oh, that, yeah.
So we're just going to ignore it. It's what they call that, the elephant in the room. We know the position sucks. There's only four guys there, but we'll just ignore it and pretend you can play with 10.
All right.
what? I mean, are we analyzing the team or not?
You guys want to BS all day or talk football?
How many times do we complain over the years that we praise Teddy Bruschi for making too many plays? I mean, it's the same thing. It's just bad instead of good.
Pablo in Mexico City says, on Sunday, the Patriots managed to allow a bad Buffalo offense to put up 23 points. Even that includes assuming they would have stopped him on the possession that would have followed the Spiller return had it not gone for
a TD.
And
in a game like that, I think that's an excellent point. Much like the Cincinnati game in the first week, Brandon Tate returned a touchdown. I'm not willing to take
right.
that seven off.
Sure.
You know, the Patriots were moving the ball right. in Cincinnati.
The way the game was going, that was at least 3 points.
Yeah.
It scares me to think that our D is one of those that can't get off the field if they don't get turnovers, because in that case, the odds are heavily against us, especially against good teams. How far do you think this unit is from being competent? Do you think that the development of the newer players will be enough to push this defense into middle of the pack territory? At least I can take solace in the fact that our newcomers on the offensive side of the ball are really looking good.
Paul, you want to handle this one?
Well, let me ask you this question. If they do manage to become middle of the pack defensively, is that good enough for this team to make a dent in the playoffs and have a chance?
Middle of the pack in what?
Well, I don't know if you want to say points allowed, because that can be as deceptive as yards, but rank in the middle of the pack defensively.
I think if you made an improvement to that far, yeah, I think that would probably be good enough. If they had an average defense
right,
to go with this offense, that's good enough.
Okay.
Can I ask you, you may not be comfortable bringing this on the air. You made a comment during the game about the defense.
That they don't even get in anybody's way?
No. You compared it to another Patriots defense.
I don't think they're as good as the 2000 Patriots defense. I don't.
Ouch.
That 2000 Patriots defense was the epitome of the bend but don't break. And unfortunately, they didn't score any points right. either. They were put in a lot tougher situations. And even then, every game was a dogfight.
Mm-hmm.
Every game was 17-14. Drew just couldn't score points.
Yeah,
that was the year Drew didn't make any plays. He didn't have any touchdowns. They didn't have any interceptions. They had no plays at all on offense.
Yeah, they hung with teams.
They hung in every single game, but couldn't make plays at the end. But they would lose. You know, you'd look up, it would be, you know, the end of the game, it would be 17-13. If they could get a touchdown, they could find a way to win it. More often than not, they didn't. They went 5-11, obviously. But that defense
just not good when you're
wasn't good.
Bringing up comparisons pre-Super Bowl winning era. Because, I mean, this team's had some bad defenses. 0-2 was not a good defense.
Oh, the 0-2 defense. The 0-2 defense was terrible. 0-5, they struggled early with Beisel and Brown. Yeah.
So, I mean,
and then Vrabel went inside. That sort of straightened things out.
Andrew from Oklahoma, the game wasn't televised in my area, so all I could see were the highlights on the website as well as the stats. That being said, what stuck out to me was the balance. If I remember correctly, there were four or five receivers between 40 to 60 yards, and then with the running backs having a productive day. The Patriots have always been a pass-first type of offense, but do you think the success rushing the ball is part of a new scheme to become balanced, or was it just a fluke against the Bills?
The latter.
Yeah, I don't think
I don't know
gonna...
about fluke. I think they earned it, but
yeah, no, not a. Yeah, you're right. Fluke's not the right.
A week to week thing.
It was a bad team, a bad run defense they went against. That a team that they've had a lot of success running the ball against in the past.
Bryce in Vermont says, "I wanted to let you know I subscribed to the paper after being a web radio freeloader since the 2006 AFC Championship loss to the Colts.
Excellent.
I was finally spurred to support you after the Star Wars Bible debate.
Nice.
I just need to insult more religions. That's
all. A late comer."
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
I was great.
Which one's next on your to-do list?
I don't know. I'll see. It was great to see the game in person on Sunday. At the end, my girlfriend and I watched as the players returned into the stadium. Gronk and I shared a moment as I yelled, "Yeah, Rob!" And he looked at me and threw up his fist in celebration of the exhilarating win. That was followed by an awkward moment in which a player gestured for my girlfriend to call him.
Hey girl, I
thought it was Will Height, but she thought the player was of a different skin complexion.
It wasn't
anyway,
Will Height.
She was flattered. I'll let you know if I figure out who it was.
Is it Woodhead?
But I was a major bobblehead.
It's been a while since I've written in, so I have a lot of comments, but I will save them for another email and leave you with this question. Brady was being polite when he said the crowd was awesome on Sunday. Do you think the money the fans have to shell out at the stadium has any effect on crowd noise?
Yeah, probably.
It could. Yeah.
I do think it was a little louder this week than it has been typically.
But you know, in a lot
but
around,
it's not a raucous atmosphere.
But here's the thing. And again, I'm not going to defend this crowd, you know, when they say, oh, well, now it's, you know, the Brie and Wine crowd, you know, it's no longer the blue collar fans. Let me tell you something.
I disagree with that.
Pittsburgh is blue collar fans. The Colts are blue collar fans, and they're loud. Families are loud. Moms are up screaming. It's just in their nature to do that. They know what to do at a football game. They're happy to do it. And that's, you know, that's what they do. Kansas City is blue collar. It's not wine and cheese in Kansas City, but they're louder than anyone.
No, but they say here that it's a wine and cheese crowd,
right.
Not a blue. Blue collar crowds are loud everywhere.
Loud, yeah.
But I think
people think
we have a blue collar crowd.
See, I do too, Fred. I'm with you on that.
But obviously
the club seats. If you want to say that the wine and cheese, that's the club, and a lot of times they don't come back out.
Right.
And that affects, in the middle of the field.
And it's right in the middle of the field. That affects the noise. It's not a place that's really conducive to making a ton of noise. And I also think they've done so much good work here, and they had to do it, okay? This is not a criticism. This is a commendation. They had to do work here to get this crowd under control. There's a reason we went almost 15 years without a home Monday night game.
We were banned.
In Foxborough. Because you couldn't do it.
But isn't there a happy medium between criminals, drunks, lowlifes, and this?
That's what I'm saying.
They have gone.
They're a middle ground where you
can. Far.
Know that you can't punch the guy next to you but still yell?
They have gone too far.
That's right.
They have gone too far, but they had to go too far. They had to clean it up.
But you've now cut it out. So how do you get back in the other direction?
And I think
a little bit.
I don't think you ever will, because I'll tell you something. And again,
yeah, Eddie Mack can get drunk. He
back in the
anybody.
Foxborough Stadium days when we were like what Paul said, you know, banned from, I mean, they weren't loud then either.
Right. But there's a lot of issues at play. Because no offense to Mr. Kraft.
We wanted to go drink.
But he was one of the season ticket holders, right?
Right.
He had enough money to buy the team. So he wasn't exactly blue-collar, lunch-pail Mr. Kraft.
Right.
He bought the team shortly thereafter.
It makes no difference.
That wasn't another life.
Great cash, homie.
Look, when the Celtics...
poor life.
When the Celtics were in their heyday in the 80s, that was as white a collar crowd as you could get, and it was as loud as you could get.
And you mean that not racially. You mean that
white collar.
That was as white a collar.
Right. That was a
definite white collar. It was all businessmen from Boston.
That was a corporate crowd. That was a wine and cheese crowd.
But they were loud.
They were very loud.
They were loud.
But again,
but the building was
like
this.
It was the Boston Garden.
Sure.
Not as loud in the Bleak Center or the new garden, the TD Garden.
I don't care if you're wine and cheese or you're blue collar, you can be loud. You can be loud.
Well, everybody has lungs and larynxes.
You go to the Colts and it's families. It's families at the Colts game, and they're loud. You don't have to be some truck driver.
It's not as loud now as it used
to be.
It's not as loud as it used to be. The change in venue changes things.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty damn loud.
No, it isn't. Not even close.
Not like the
dome. You couldn't talk to the guy next to you in the old one.
The dome was
so much smaller.
No, but I'm just saying, the venue is a part of it.
It is. But
name all the places that have open bowls that have great crowds.
But they were loud.
Philly, maybe. I don't know. People say they're a loud crowd, and same as here.
They're still loud. They're still loud.
But my point is, a lot of the places you like to point to as a loud crowd, Kansas City is a big closed bowl. Yeah. New York is a big closed bowl. That helps.
Yeah.
It plays a part.
I guarantee you, you put the mindset and the people of Kansas City in Gillette Stadium, and it would be loud.
It'd be better, no question.
That's all I'm saying.
But that's my point. There's like seven factors at play.
Yeah.
There was some interesting research done, actually, on our crowd this weekend from my old place of employment. They actually sent a few guys out with mics. Like after halftime, and they were interviewing people in the third and fourth quarters as they were leaving early. And you know they were leaving early because they would ask what the final score was, and they'd be like, oh, 38-23 or something along those lines. And the number one reason that people gave, and they did hundreds of people streaming out of this place.
Traffic.
In the third, was that they stopped selling booze. That was the number one reason.
Yeah, but that's a league rule.
So everyone wanted to stream in the CBS scene. They weren't leaving the property.
Well,
they were just going to the bars.
But that's a league rule.
That's just ridiculous.
I'm with you on that. For that,
I mean, they stopped selling in the middle of the seventh inning in baseball. That's no reason to leave.
I agree with you. I'm just telling you what they found. Like, they played all the footage.
Is it really? Really? That's what you go to the game for?
Right. You have to have your beer, or you're going to – you know, that's ridiculous.
Wouldn't it make more sense to stay home and buy a case instead of spending $9 a beer?
These people were saying that we agree with Brady that the crowd stinks, which is what I find hilarious.
Yeah, we stink, but we're leaving.
We like, the crowd stinks. We should be in there, but they don't have booze, so I'm leaving. It's basically the excuse they gave.
Do you come for booze or football?
That is unbelievable. But it's believable, but it's unbelievable.
It's actually kind of a good idea for a story.
You don't have a flask?
Ken in Mexico.
It is a good idea for a story.
Ken,
want to make itty-bitty Eric cry next week? Try to make him quote and do that?
Ken in New Mexico, says some quick thoughts to share. One, we now know that if the defense is unable to stop the other team at all, Brady and company on offense have the talent to score even if they're on. Sort of good news. Two weeks in a row, we've made terrible offenses look great. But, A, the Jets gashed the Dolphins with 31 points, more than they scored on us. And the Dolphins put up a pretty good defense in the first 2 weeks. Possible the Jets learn how to play offense in week two? It is possible.
Well, he just said they were terrible.
I think that's wholly possible. They got healthy against the Patriots.
They could point to the second half of our game as where Sanchez finally got it, where the light bulb went off. I hope not.
That's not good.
But remember, the Jets still don't even have Santonio Holmes.
Remember when it used to be the other way? You pointed to the hangover teams felt after playing the Patriots?
Yeah.
Right. Now it's where you get healthy and feel good about yourself. I mean, the Bills felt so good about Ryan Fitzpatrick that they jettisoned their quarterback out of town and sent Trent Edwards.
Does that make any sense at all?
No, not at all.
Is he a bad guy that I just don't know about?
I don't think
so. Trent Edwards?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Listen.
You never know what goes on behind the scenes. He might have started throwing desks over.
That's what
on
I'm saying.
Monday
is
morning.
He a bad guy that we don't know about?
Maybe.
I mean, say what you will about his talent. Maybe he just doesn't have it. Fine. But you just had a month-long open competition for your job that he won.
Right.
And matter of fact, he won to an extent that the head coach was really belligerent about it. And now this would be like Andy Reid cutting.
Right.
Kevin Cobb.
Instead of just listening to trade offers.
I don't get it.
Well,
they're the Raiders East. Nothing they do will work out until it's all blown
up. Well, Ken also says the Bills did just switch QBs and the team seemed in comments during the week to be happy about the Fitzpatrick situation. Possible this guy's for real? I know I'm grasping at straws there.
No, he's a stiff.
Well, have you heard the GM of the Bills? I mean, you know, people make fun of Chan Gailey, but have you heard this GM?
Yeah, no. Buddy Nix?
Yeah.
He's a clown.
Right.
Absolutely.
Where'd you hear him?
On the radio.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Serious?
The circus is in town.
I'm just, listen.
Well, that's what I mean. It's an organizational ineffectiveness in Buffalo, just like it is in Oakland. And until that changes, you can have, you know, all the Brandon Spillers and, CJ Spillers Brandon that you want. Was he a linebacker, Florida?
Yeah.
Brandon Spiller. Oh, Siler, not Spiller and Spiller.
See, now playing the part of Fred is Andy. But exactly. Ken in Mexico says, we had our TV announcers point out a bad Merriweather decision on the CJ Spiller reception, TD reception. Is Merriweather a bad decision guy?
Yes.
What I'm asking is, there are people in life who just always make the wrong decision, and Merriweather talked earlier about, I can't freelance. If Merriweather really is that type of guy, we need to replace him ASAP, matter how much physical talent he has.
Well, first of all, I don't think he's overly physically talented, but they have replaced him. He hasn't started. He hasn't played a prominent role yet in three games. He's
and
a sub-package
mixing,
guy.
Jared Page in.
Yeah.
And fourth and finally, this game seemed to be very experimental. Lots of different personnel, lots of different tries on offense. Bill even took Andy's advice and threw a long one to Tate, who caught it. It looks like the Patriots are really searching for what works, and at this point, everything is on the table. Are we desperate this early in the season?
How about that deep ball to Slater?
I was going to say, they took my advice to the point where they decided we're going to get Slater on tape.
That, to me, was a take a shot. The Tate play was a desperation play at the end of the half. They had to throw a 30-yard pass to get in field goal range.
And don't think
that was
it.
A remarkable.
When they threw it to
the
Slater, I was about to say, "See, that's what you got to do." Until I realized it was Slater.
Right.
He just couldn't catch up to it.
And then I said, "That was a wasted play."
I had to like double and triple.
Yeah. No one needs to see Matthew Slater on tape doing anything.
Derek from the University of Arizona. So it's good to get in a win in the division, but how do you let the Bills put 30 on our D? That hurts.
23.
I hope fans do pot sugarcoat this game. Once again, people are throwing the cornerbacks under the bus and where is our pass rush statements are flying around. However, I feel the pass rush has been a little better than expected this year. The problem in the Buffalo game was missed tackles, poor tackling angles, and over-fundamental breakdowns. Also, I could not agree more about the Arrington and Butler thing. Butler played three plays in the game. If you want to send a message, then maybe not start him in the opening series, but I still have faith he can develop. Unlike Felger last week, who declared him the worst corner in the NFL.
Felger's such a clown.
He really is.
I disagree about the pressure, by the way.
That 800 number, I forgot
they
it.
Have
I'm
not
sorry.
Had, unless you were just expecting them never to get anywhere near a quarterback all year, I don't see how they've exceeded your expectations in getting after the quarterback. They had virtually no pressure this week.
Okay.
Would you agree with that, Fred? Did you think they had any pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick in that game?
Not enough.
And a lot of third downs that they were like 50% on third down.
Yep. I mean, early on we thought that they might. You know, they showed some signs.
I didn't see any pressure at
Mayo
all.
Mayo had the, you know, they had that one sack.
The Bills were 50% on third down.
Yeah,
this
and they were like exceeded their
the
season
funny,
total of third down conversions.
The thing that jumped out to me too is the Patriots only forced one punt.
Yeah, for a bad.
Those were two things when I was looking at the script that Andy has. I was like, holy Moses.
I mean, is there a chance that, you know, the Bills, you know, the way they did get make fun of, you know, throughout the week and losing 13 in a row to the Patriots, and it is an AFC East rival that, you know, that they played over their heads, that they actually played for them.
But you allowed them to play over their heads.
No, but I mean.
So I think that they'll match that offensive output next week?
No. They probably won't, because they probably won't be as up for the game.
No, they won't play a team that has this defense.
Right. Just because they try hard doesn't mean you can't stop them, right?
No, but sometimes
Ryan
teams,
Fitzpatrick's trying hard. What are we going to do today?
You know, sometimes teams play over their head and they have a good game.
It happens a lot against the Patriots.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire, didn't get to watch the game last Sunday, but from what I've seen and read, we have a serious problem on defense. So how much do we miss Seymour and Warren? How does our secondary manage to make Fitzpatrick look like the second coming of Peyton Manning? This is starting to look like Groundhog Day Part 2. Are we going to have to score 35-40 points every game to have a chance of winning?
Yep.
We can do this against teams like the Bills, but how about the Ravens and the Dolphins and the Steelers? What does Belichick do at this point? Just hope that these guys are going to come around. I don't think we can perform like this and beat the Dolphins. They have a much better defense, and I don't think we can hang 38 on them. Starting out 2-2 with two losses in the division could make the season a long uphill climb. If this team wants credibility, they have to beat the Dolphins thoroughly. So if you're a Bill, if you're Bill, do you jam the box and make Henny beat you? No wait. With our secondary, Henny can beat us. So then we play mostly sub packages all day. No wait. They will run the Wildcat on us all day and beat us then. Oops, we're out of options, so what do we do? Keep up the great show, except for Eric, who was never there anymore.
I just want to disagree. I'll take a win on the road.
Yeah, anyway.
1 point, whatever, I'll take a win.
You don't need to beat
the back my way in the second half, I'll take it.
The 38-30 win this week that we're all disgusted with.
I'll take 1-0.
Will look fantastic next week.
I don't care what it is, how it is. Henny can throw the worst three picks I've ever seen. I don't care.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
That's the thing. I think Henny's pretty decent.
I think he is developing.
We'll see.
He played really well, I thought, Sunday night. Well. Even the interception wasn't his fault. The end was just jamming it in there.
363 yards.
Against
this
a very good
like
team.
Five game books this weekend.
He's got it open in front of him. Yeah, it doesn't matter. There's no style points this week in Miami. You win on the road. I don't care what it is. This one, I'll legitimately say, 3-2, 50-49, I don't care.
And the problem with
you find a way to win, that's big.
The problem with stacking the box, I just gave the numbers to Andy. Look what the Bills did to the Patriots in terms of the rushing attack on Sunday.
24 for 134, 5.6.
5.6 yards per carry.
Yeah, and if they were able, you know, if they don't fall behind, that interception in the first play of the fourth quarter changed the way that they played the fourth quarter. They could no longer run anymore. They still ran the ball 24 times. That's a lot of runs.
And they ran it
very well. But they're probably going to get to 30 if they don't give up that interception. If they match that score, they're on the 20-yard line going in. He misses a wide-open guy. It's 31-30 with the whole quarter left.
What do you think in terms of the Wildcat? I mean, Miami used it a lot against the Jets on Sunday night.
I think the Wildcat will be effective against the Patriots.
Oh, I think it will too. I said to the people I was watching the game with, we're going to get Wildcat to death next Monday.
And I think that Dan Henning is a guy, he's a personnel guy, he's a groupings guy. He'll do different stuff. He'll give them different looks. And I think now with Brandon Marshall, they have something that they really haven't had. In this sort of Sperano era, I know it's not a long time, but what's it, three years now?
This is the third
four,
year, yeah.
4 years, 3 years?
Third year.
Yeah, they haven't really had an element that they could rely on. I mean, let's face it, Devon Bess is a nice player, okay? Brian Hartline, they're not going to beat you, but Brandon Marshall can beat you, and then those other guys become that much better. Bess was huge in the first half of that game the other night, and Hartline came on in the second half. But Brandon Marshall ended up with, what, 12 for 166 or something like that?
He had 10 for 166.
10 for 166. That's
including a 40-yarder.
And the only thing that hurt him, I thought, very at the end of the game, I thought when he caught that long pass down the sideline and almost got in, he looked like he was gassed the next couple of plays. They went to him, and he didn't have any legs.
And he had Cromartie on him.
Cromartie, actually, I mean, I know he gave up a lot of plays. Yeah. Cromartie, I thought, played really well in
that
game.
But, I mean, you look at what Cromartie did to Moss. And then look what Marshall did to Cromartie.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes you wonder. And the other alarming thing, too, about Marshall, Paul, was that he got targeted 17 times in this game. Henny looked at him 17 times.
Mm. Michael in Texas says, do you agree with me that Tom will put the team on his shoulders in Miami and carry them to victory? For the first time in his career, he's the highest-paid player in the league, playing on the biggest stage. Tom will rise to the occasion and will not disappoint. Are you with me? Anyone? No? Really?
No, I'm not.
He's had some questionable games and decisions in Miami. So
I don't
think
the
Dolphins is the time that he's just going to put the team on his. I think he tries to put the team on his back every week. It's a passing offense. He has the face of it.
He has to put the team on his back every week. But I don't think the Dolphins' defense is great. I think there's some holes there. I think Tom will have a reasonably good game. But no, I don't think he'll put the team on his back and roll.
Chris Rigoli is emailing from Madrid.
Well, that's
is this,
like, that, that's
wit. Intern day here.
That's the aforementioned nitwit.
He said, "I really have nothing to say. Just wanted to say hi. This is the first time I've been able to tune in since I've left the country. Not quite the same quality entertainment as when Tony and I were on the show."
Right.
So that's Chris saying hello from doing his semester abroad.
I hope he gets taken.
Is that in relation to Tory Champagne?
No. You ever do a semester abroad?
Do I look rich?
No. Okay. You don't have to get snippy about it.
Yeah, you did get a little snippy there.
Do I look rich?
You're going to yell at him for being in a bad mood now?
No, he's always like that. Phil in Nova Scotia, can't wait until next Monday night for Gruden to tell me how every player on the Patriots is great, just spectacular, real football player.
This guy.
Well, I'd like to give John Gruden a compliment. I think he is the most amazing commentator on TV. Who else could speak so clearly with so many balls in their mouth?
Oh, wow. Spider.
Oy vey, could someone please take the bottle of fairy dust away from this guy? Wow.
This guy. That is his problem. I actually like
still
him.
Still competing, can get their hands on balls, and right now I'm intrigued by that competition.
He, I think he's good, but it is annoying that he never has a bad word to say. Everybody seems to think it's because he plans on being back in the league and doesn't want to, but who cares? I mean, you really think some receiver's going to remember that you're his coach now, but you once said he sucked? Who cares? You're his coach. Cut him if he thinks that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't like him, but I like Chris Collinsworth in that regard.
I hate his neck.
I think he's pretty balanced. I think there's some guys that he goes overboard positive, but when they
Collinsworth is one of the best.
When they make
not
a mistake, when players make mistakes, he points them out.
Yeah.
You know, Phil Simms is guilty of that other thing too, where everybody is, you know, making great plays and great throws, and all the quarterbacks especially. And I like Phil Simms, but I think he's a little bit.
Sims.
I think he's a little bit over the top.
Pompous and.
Well,
I don't care for him.
I think he's very good at what he does. I don't care for him as a person, but what I'm talking
I can't
about.
Get past his tone, and he's a lot like
why don't you like him as a person? Have you ever met him?
I said I don't know him as a person. Andy thinks he's pompous and doesn't like him.
Oh, come on. Have you ever met him?
Me?
No. I'm going by his on-air persona.
Oh, I think he's very I like listening to him because I think he tells me stuff I don't
know. Right. He's good. Ken in Jacksonville says, I listen every week but haven't written since I was Ken in San Diego, back when I was in the Marine Corps stationed in California a few years ago. You're welcome for my service, Eric. Anyway, I thought I'd run this idea by you guys and see what you think. What if we lined Woodhead and Vollmer up in the backfield with Brady, snapped the ball and hand it off to Woodhead, then had Vollmer toss him as far as he could across the line of scrimmage? See, in the South, we call this midget tossing. At Gillette Stadium, I call it 6.5 yards a carry. Any thoughts?
I'm all for it.
P.S., how much does Trent Edwards hate the Pats now that our D made Fitzpatrick look like the second coming of Montana until the end of the fourth quarter, causing him to lose his job?
Paul's right. That just can't be performance. They decided they have the answer, and it's Fitzpatrick. There's got to be more to that story.
He must have come in Monday and started kicking doors.
Or he banged Chan Gailey's daughter or something.
Whoa!
I'm serious. I'm kind of serious. There's something had to... Jesus.
Something happened there where maybe he was unhappy about it originally, and then he made a big stink about it, saying, you know, either trade me or cut me.
I say there's more than that. Bang somebody's daughter.
No, see, I think he forced their hand.
Why is that so loud?
I think he forced their hand and said, trade me or cut me.
Right. Chris said, Chris writes in, says, hey, I know this might be a little crazy. What about getting our hands on Ty Law again? He's still sitting around doing nothing. While I know he is long in the tooth and still a veteran player that could come in a lead that defensive and lead that defensive backfield, put him on the other side from McCourty. He has to be better than what we have, and he could be in that place in his career to help along the younger guy. I think he's like 300 pounds.
That was totally taken out of context.
Plus, I've always kind of had the feeling that Ty Law was like Ted Williams. He knows what he does, but I'm not sure he could tell Darius Butler how to do what he does and make it work. I think he cheated a lot. I think he went on instincts a lot. I think some of what he did was just Ty Law being Ty Law. And I think if he tried to teach McCourty and Butler to
Deion
do that,
Sanders never, not that I think Deion Sanders is a little better than Ty Law, but Deion Sanders never became a coach because there's certain guys like Ted Williams tried being a hitting coach and he got lost patience with guys.
Deion is going down that road with Prime U and all
this. Well, but he's more of an agent.
And just so you know, one of the members of Prime U is the guy I'm talking about, Darius Butler.
Oh, is that right?
I believe so. I believe he went to Prime U.
Chris with a TIAN writes in, well, we beat Buffalo. That was close. Miami is going to be a good test for this team on the road Monday night. Let's get a road win.
Yeah.
Man, this defense is awful. On the flip side, this offense is fun to watch, especially these tight ends, as you guys have been on since day one. Also, call me whatever name you want, but when Brady scrambled for the first down and then got up and pumped his fist for a first down, I was jumping up and down like I just hit Mega Millions.
Something I know it was coming up for me too, but it was not.
I know it's a little undrafted rookie free agent cornerback from LSU-ish, But hey, I love the emotion. See, Paul doesn't like that.
I didn't care for it.
You shouldn't be emotional.
But I didn't think there was
there's
a reason
no standing
for
up when you play
no,
football.
No, I'm all for it in certain situations. And from him, I think it can be the greatest thing in the world. Just like Wes Welker did it when he took that pop and jumps up.
I like but the I like the Welker one.
It was a weird.
I thought it was
seemed
a little,
forced.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like it was premeditated.
That's
why are you bobbing?
That was the difference. I agree.
I'm bobbing because I'm nodding my head in approval. I thought it was a little overreaction, but. That just reminds me. I am glad he finally saw green in front of him and went and ran for a first down.
That's the first thing I thought of because you've been
right.
last
well,
week.
Well, we had said it before he even took off. We go, here you go, Fred. You're going to finally get your wish. And it took him a half an hour to go 8 yards.
Fine.
And he needed a 27-yard cushion to get 8.
Take it. Take it is my point.
He doesn't have that all the time.
A lot of times he does.
That was a short yardage situation. If he needed 10, he wouldn't have gotten it.
He didn't need 10. He
I
knew
know.
What he needed, and he got it. And I think there's other times
but my,
this year
my
that
point
he's
is,
had that
I don't. No, see, that's where we disagree. I don't think he's had a lot of those.
Bada, 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 swing, bada.
I want to thank Christian for pointing out that we were at the forefront of the tight end praise, so that the guy who's annoyingly in the front row of the press box and shows up only to games and goes, I just want to tell everyone this team's got a pair of nice tight ends. It's going to be a big part of this offense.
God, is that guy annoying.
Yeah, well, just so you know, we've been telling people that since April, you idiot. Yeah.
Plus,
you fat, annoying man with
plus
glasses.
Plus, it also confirms the fact that we've also hammered home positive
no
elements
idea what his name is.
Of the team.
Our
Steve
press
Crouch.
Box has turned into
I have
Steve
no problems.
Crouch. Where's he from?
Lynn Item.
Our press box has turned into a sports bar.
But that guy, more than
like
anyone.
It's like this guy's just blurting things out.
He turns around, finds people to talk to that are two rows back.
The 98.5 booth is the sports bar with Capello screaming and clapping in the background.
Well, but at least they're in their own booth.
And they claim you've never been in there, so how would you know?
Because you can hear it over the air.
I know.
While watching, this is still Christian, while watching the game on Sunday, I simply hate it when they flash statistics or trends. Case in point. A graphic comes up that Buffalo was 0 for the last 40 in third downs of 10 or more yards. Sure enough, third and 18, bam, 21-yard completion to Lee Evans for a first down. Unreal.
There were a couple bad long conversions from the Bills in that game. Bad.
Well, and I made a comment to you guys on one of them. There was a false start penalty on first down, so it was first and 15. They ran for about 3 yards, so it's second and 12. They ran a little shovel pass up the middle, and it went nowhere. It got like a yard or two. It was going to be third and 10. There was holding on that play. And I had said to Andy, wow, this is a different defense we're dealing with. Bill took the penalty to make it, you know, second and 22 instead of saying right. third and 10. I think traditionally Bill would decline that penalty. Yeah. Third and 10, you ain't getting third and 10 on
right,
us.
Right. Now, don't give him the extra play.
Sure enough.
Right.
First down.
Sarah writes in. She's from Iowa. I just turned on the
how
show.
Are you?
I just turned on the show to hear Paul make a comment about how you could make Eric cry. I have another idea. Have Mr. Pompous interview Brandon Merriweather. You think he wants to correct you guys? He'd be crying about 1 minute into the interview. Just make sure it's done on video.
Is Sarah a regular emailer?
I don't know. Sarah
don't
from
that.
Iowa.
I've always thought that name was hot.
Sarah. It's biblical.
It's plain, but hot. Send photos, Sarah.
Gina.
Let me see if it works with my little theory.
We get a female who emails and he immediately needs to have a photo. That's just so sexist.
Yes.
Go get him, Fred.
This from the man who once said, we need more women in the office. They're there to look nice and smell nice.
I said, I like it when they smell nice.
You said, they're there. They boost office morale because they look nice and smell nice.
That's true.
Good for morale.
I could always eat your salad. Oh,
can I have a little rant for 1 second?
Oh, here
yes.
we go.
Against.
Rant on. What time is it?
It was a penalty.
1:46.
Plenty of time for a rant.
Against the Buffalo Bills that I thought was embarrassing. More embarrassing than not knowing the rule on timeouts. The defensive end jumps into the neutral zone, and the slot receiver, Wes Welker, is allowed to jump like an offensive lineman and point to him, and they give the penalty to the defensive end. Wasn't the intention of that rule was defensive end shouldn't be able to
bait,
know, trick and bait
right.
tackles.
Right.
What does it have to do with the slot receiver?
I think it
how
was
does
even,
he steal a penalty
but I
there?
Think it was even worse than
that's
you described.
That's asinine.
The defensive end jumped, got back.
Well, yeah, but they
and
always.
Then the slot receiver moved
well,
and pointed
but they always Aiden. Allow that. They allow the tackle to point a good two
right.
count after the guy
no,
goes
but,
back.
But they didn't last night in the Green Bay game. I forget which team it was, but the guy, oh, was it Peppers who jumped? One of the guys jumped into the neutral zone, got back. It was Peppers. The Green Bay guy
oh,
waited,
I heard, yeah.
waited too long, and then he.
And I heard
back
Gruden bitch about it, the offensive mind that right. he is. They say they're going to give that to the defense and not allow him to bait, but I never see it called that way.
Right.
Yeah, you're an offensive guy. You never see
but
anything.
But you saw what I was
yes,
talking about.
Yes, I saw
about.
The play. But
right.
this is a slot receiver who's not blocking the defensive
no,
end.
Right.
And why are we allowing him to steal? That's. I mean, you're turning the game into something that it's not. It's supposed to be a physical matchup. It wasn't. That was just a joke. You allow... Ugh. I don't like where the NFL's going.
Rant over.
18 games scheduled. You see, that's final. Fait accompli.
Well, no. According to Polian, he believes it's a fait accompli.
Well, doesn't he get what he wants in this league? That's what I've been told by Patriots fans
over
the years.
He made it sound like he didn't want it.
No, but if it's fait accompli, he knows what he's talking about.
Right. He said the owners have decided. You know, the if you're reading between the lines there, he's not on board with it.
Well, nobody should be. I still like your theory that it's just a bargaining chip that's going to be pulled back.
I was holding out hope that your theory had merit.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew from Norwood says, great show, fellas. When it comes to publicly admitting how this team handles poor performances, Belichick is the best at never calling out an individual to the media. With that being said, I found it interesting during his Monday morning press conference when someone asked him about Butler not starting last Sunday. The reporter asked if benching a player is a way of getting a message across. I was expecting the typical Bill response, dodging the question and telling us we play whoever we feel gives us the best chance to win at every position. But he actually agreed with the reporter and added there are a number of ways to go about sending a message. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone why Butler didn't start that game last week, but with a better receiving core in Miami, does Butler get the nod this week, or do we see more of Arrington?
I think he starts.
Now, I just want to clarify, he didn't necessarily agree, like, yes, I benched him to send a message. There was more to the answer, and he said, but that is one way, yes.
And the reason why did that is because the question was asked more generically than it was about
specifically. Right, and then when he started getting specific, Bill did revert to, we do what's
best. He just acknowledged
that
that's a tact that coaches could take.
Right.
But I did think it was interesting, getting back to Butler, remember last year Lee Bodden was benched?
Yep.
But he played.
He didn't play three plays.
He didn't start.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a difference in some of these benchings, handlings, messages that are being sent. And to me, the Butler one was the most dramatic. You didn't start and you didn't play.
Right.
You went from playing every snap as the starting corner to not playing. Yeah. You could have, as Paul said, you could have moved in and bumped Will Hite out of the slot, or you could have just rotated with Arrington. You didn't play. This was, to me, one of the more dramatic ones we've seen. This was a half step away from being inactive.
Derek from Arizona, I don't know if this is accurate, but I'll ask you a trivia question based on what he's saying. Name the only defensive player on the Patriots who have played all 203 snaps through the first three games.
Devin McCourty.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding. According to Derek. So I'm trusting that he got that info correct.
Is that according to Mike Reese?
Maybe. I don't.
I would assume it's according to Mike.
I would hope so, because if Derek's charting the plays, then I feel bad for Derek.
That's what I do when I go home after the game.
Oh, you should hear the guys on Sirius NFL Radio that call in. I mean, they seriously have loose leaf books of plays that they're charting. These are fans that chart every play.
The ESPN.
Remind me never to listen to that.
Fan is short for fanatic.
The ESPN stats and info department does that, and they do.
That's their job.
Well, that's what I used to do, but they'll give
but
you.
But that's a job. No, but he's talking about losers.
That's true. But they'll give you, like, how many, like, what Brady's completion percentage is and his quarterback rating with what package.
From a media perspective, that's valuable. For a guy sitting in his mom's basement calling Sirius Radio, not valuable.
That's true.
Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. Now, Paul, I got a question before I get into this email. You have the Tempur-Pedic bed now?
I do.
Did you look at the Bob-O-Pedic from Bob's Furniture?
I didn't.
No?
No.
I thought that was Lindsay Petrunni.
No comment.
Okay.
He's a sponsor, correct?
Right.
Yeah, no comment.
Beaver Stadium.
Aaron in Sterling, Virginia. I don't even want to talk about this past week's game. If you can't beat the Bills by double digits, then you can't do much.
Oh, well, last year they didn't. The first one came down to the comeback, the second one came down to an onside kick.
And they couldn't do much.
But they were a playoff
team. That's this guy's point.
They were a playoff team.
Yeah. But they couldn't do much.
I have a question. Where can I go to see video of the shows you guys are doing? I've checked out CSNNE and NNES site, but
Lord
they only
knows.
Show Andy and Paul solo videos. I'd like to see clips with all of you.
What are they showing?
We actually
did I give up my rights?
Do we have permission?
I know we have the first 2 weeks of PFW up on Patriots.com. If you check, you can rummage around and find that.
Is this the latency of the internet?
Week three, we had a problem with the DVD.
Ferreira.
Yeah, but hopefully
audio.
On
Patriots. No, it wasn't a Ferreira problem. There was no audio.
He just agrees, though. I say Ferreira. He goes, yeah.
No, there was an audio problem on the DVD.
They just showed that play, and that was ridiculous.
Well,
the
issue
is that you ranted about.
Comcast has to give the DVD to Chris to put up on the website.
Right.
And I don't know if there's a rule on when they can release him, whether it's just once a month or whatever.
We didn't used to have the problem with Necken.
But he didn't have any. I spoke to him on Sunday.
I know why he didn't have it.
Okay.
Well, why?
One week they didn't get it here in time, and okay. last week they got it here, there's and there was no audio on the DVD.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, he told me on Sunday that one was going up, so
yeah.
I assume that
he
one
got it's now. A week. He got the last week's up.
There you go.
But there's no. It's our show. We can do whatever the hell we want with it.
Are we going to get an Emmy?
No. Also, glad to hear that the guys abroad are still checking in with the show. I studied abroad for a short time in college,
but
it all fell apart when she found out I was studying other broads as well.
See?
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
So,
I wish you'd grab mine.
Let's see. A lot of emails. Preston from Brockton just wants to write in to say that the defense sucks. That's all he's.
Another one. No flies on you.
After a win, defense sucks. Merry Christmas, defense sucks.
I hope everybody, you know, is back when they get better.
Now, do you have a list, Fred? Like, do you blacklist people? Emails like that, you put them on. I'm not reading them.
No, these are his naysayers.
Well, they go on a list, but it's not necessarily a blacklist. It's just
not like
list.
The Celtics crowd. That was a white collar crowd.
It goes on a list. Dave in North Park, I'm officially worried about the D. The first two game performances by the D were a cause for worry, but it appeared that the defense at least recognized what was happening. The D in the Bills game looked lost. The O's production was impressive, especially with regard to the fact that the running game opened up. The O ran into problems when they started a drive with a penalty on the first play, which resulted in 0 points each time. What do you feel will be the key matchup in the Miami game?
For the defense?
I guess so. I don't know.
Brandon Marshall,
to me, it's...
He beat him last year. He could beat him again for a different team.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot... I think Miami's offense has different ways that they move the football against this defense, but Brandon Marshall is the best weapon they have.
Next in line would be Anthony Fasano. Next in line would be the Wildcat. More Ronnie Brown than Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams looks like he may be hitting that wall. He looks slow to me.
Maybe he was just high. He needed a snack.
He's also been a little loose with the football. Which can be huge in that, and again, that might be one of those back and forth slugfests. They can't afford that.
You know what else might not be good in a back and forth slugfest? Punting. Zoltan Mesko didn't look great the other day.
Hey, before I forget,
usually you don't have to punt much in back and forth.
Before I forget, today is the second installment.
Oh, you mean back and forth in terms of high scoring?
Yeah,
today is.
I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
I don't think there's a
Well, then the Patriots lose if it's not.
There's certainly a chance.
Today's the Today's the second installment of the Pete Shepherd Show at 4 o'clock.
How did that do in the ratings first week?
Excellent.
Yes, I figured.
Excellent. That'll start at 4 o'clock right after John Rook's show at 2. So
hook 'em horns.
Everybody
suck
'em horns. Tune in for that. Chris in DC, this is a first time email. He's losing my PFW email virginity, he says.
Nice, congrats.
Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric, if he's not looking for transcripts. I've listened to the show since the beginning of the 07 season, but I've been a fan since I was 7 years old during the Pete Carroll years. I grew up in Connecticut, but am now going to college in D.C. Never emailed the show before, but after my comments finally getting through on curse words, I figured I'd email in. That's a sign. That's a badge of, quite something to get your comment in there.
It's a badge of
quite something to get in.
You are a wordsmith, my friend.
What's up with the secondary? I couldn't believe that Kyle Arrington was starting over Butler or even Wilhite. I kept getting horrible flashbacks to the last time we had a short cornerback with the number 27. He did make a pretty good play in the end zone, but he wasn't even watching for the ball. Seemed pretty lucky. Was there any indication at all that Arrington was starting, or was this a complete surprise? Do you guys think he'll be the starter for the rest of the season?
No.
There was some buzz, though, that he would play, at least more if
he
not start.
He replaced Butler in the Jets game.
Yeah.
That's where the buzz came from.
I think the Pats offense is looking good, but the defense obviously needs work. If it weren't for a few high throws from Harvard grad Fitzy, the Pats would have been in huge trouble in that game. If they can't stop the Bills, what do they do against the Colts or the Steelers once Roethlisberger gets back? I worry if Brady would need to put up 30 or 40 points on the Steelers' defense. Chris in D.C. I think that's what everyone's thinking, and we're all on the same page there.
You should worry with that defense. If it's pass first and they're playing catch-up, James Harrison, Woodley.
Well, yeah, because I thought there were some teams that didn't have the offense to necessarily get to 30. The Jets, the Bills, they got around 30. So now I'm looking at teams like Pittsburgh, which I don't think really has an offense to do that. I now, once the Bills do it, I now say there are no teams out there that don't necessarily have the offense to get in a slugfest. I think everybody now is capable of getting in a slugfest with the Patriots. And if they have defense like Pittsburgh, do you have enough offense to get to 35?
Right.
I wasn't even just talking about points and winning the game. I was thinking of number 12's health.
Well, that's another
thing. If he's literally dropping back and James Harrison and Woodley and those guys are pinning their ears back and just coming, and you don't pass protection. That's the other thing. Everybody likes to, well, we're in love with the Danny Woodhead story. Julian Edelman, oh, hey, they put him back there. I didn't see one of them have to pick up like this crazy Jets-like blitz or anything when it's hitting the fan. There are challenges to come in that role, and I don't know who the guy's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Woodhead or Edelman, but they will get challenged by some of these coaches' schemes and blitzing that, you know, that's an issue moving forward.
John Rook's here, and the reason why he's here is because he's got a show that starts at 2 o'clock. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
How you doing?
I'm good, I think.
So from your crow's nest, what do you think? Are you as worried as it seems everybody else is?
Yeah, I'm still concerned. No, I'm still concerned. I have been since week one. I thought this was sort of a microcosm of what we've seen the first month or so of the season, that this team is going to have to outscore some people. It may happen a little bit longer than anybody would really like for it to happen. You know, the players seem to be mentioning that, the defense is a work in progress, that it'll continue to work toward, you know, being better. I'm not sure that I can see that based on the personnel that this team has. I think there have been some poor decisions made personnel-wise defensively, that just haven't basically taken care of the needs that are very obvious on this team. That being said, I think the offense, in spite of a couple of shakeups and some injuries and Logan Mankins and everything else, I think they're performing at a pretty high level for this early in the season. I think that bodes well for later. But, you know, I think what we saw this last Sunday against Buffalo, 38-30, is going to be more the rule rather than the exception. And, you know, you're going to have to hope that you put up 30 to 35 points a week. By the way, Patriots are number one in the NFL in scoring after
Absolutely.
3 weeks.
Yep.
Does that surprise anybody?
What are they in
nope.
points allowed?
Not me.
28th.
Yeah. I was going to say 27 or 28.
28th. Yeah. So right toward the
exactly,
bottom.
That's basically exactly what we felt coming in.
Yep. So you're of the belief that the theory that the young players should be better 3 months from now and will be better and more productive is simply a theory and not really a...
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with John.
I think it's just a theory. I think we'd all like for that to happen.
Negativity
I think we've
in
seen in the past that it can happen. I'm not going to rule it out.
No, but I'm saying you can make an assessment on McCourty and Butler and Chung and even Jermaine Cunningham's been playing a little more, and you either know whether you feel like those guys are going to be impact players
right,
later or
right.
not.
Right. I would tell you that I think Patrick Chung continues to impress me a little bit more every time out. I think Chung will end up being a player.
I would agree.
I think he'll be all right. I haven't been overly impressed.
I don't know that he'll be all pro, but I think he's got the potential to be a very solid player. Conversely, I don't think Darius Butler has it. You guys know I feel that way about Butler. I felt that way about him when he was at UConn. You know, because I've covered Big East football for the last, you know, couple of decades since it's been around.
You were
voicing
those concerns last year.
So did his coach, by the way. I don't know if you guys read the Monique Walker piece where she had his position coach who's now at Georgia. He's moved on.
Yeah, moved on.
And basically said, being there, making the play, and not getting pushed around is what he struggled with at UConn. Well,
right.
That's what he's struggling with in second
He's struggling
year in New
with
England.
Here. So, and I think it obviously trickled down to this weekend. We saw him on the field for what, 3-4 plays?
Yep. Yeah.
I think that was it. And I think that's going to be more than. Now, I will tell you that Kyle Arrington, I thought, did pretty good for getting thrown in there. You know, I don't think he did horrible. I don't think he, you know, is he going to be a regular player? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But for someone who, you know, had to come in there under the circumstances, either him or Butler, you know, I thought he did okay.
But you know, it would be nice if he were just rotating in. Because we kind of liked him back in camp and the whole but it looks bad when you replace your second-round pick with an undrafted guy at a Hofstra. It's just almost like the image.
Here, Andy, I think we got to get by this, okay? We have to get by the fact that, you know, oh, he was a high draft pick, so he's got to play. Bull, okay?
Well, I think we have to get by these guys were high draft picks, so they're going to improve.
Well,
I think that's
okay, that's probably the more correct way to put it. Because, you know, we lived with the Lawrence Maroney experiment for 4-plus years, and we saw that was not going to happen a couple of years ago.
I'm really, really concerned. If you haven't been able to figure that out over the last 2 hours. I'm with John. I'm in lockstep with John here.
See, I'm halfway, but I still think, but I thought he played pretty well last year, personally. I thought he made a lot of breaks on the ball. I thought he showed the ability to make breaks on the ball.
I think he was helped by a guy like Bodden and Springs' presence. you know, guy that could teach him and guys that kind of bring him along. And so when he was thrown in there in spot duty, he had that constant coach it up thing. He has Knott Springs. He has no Bodden. He's out there on an island, not Revis Island. He's out there on an island by himself and he's getting burnt.
But that's a, I mean, that's a problem in and of itself. He's talented. So basically the theory, he has some talent.
I'm not even convinced.
And Bodden and Springs helped him. He has coaches. I mean, you have Corwin Brown. You
I
have
would
Josh
agree.
Boyer.
I would,
theoretically, those guys should be helping
well,
him.
Well, those guys should be helping him. And I don't think that this coaching staff in some areas coaches up enough.
Well, I'll tell you, we need to get going, but it's Terrence Wheatley to the rescue. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be it for this edition of
That's
PFW
all you got?
In Progress.
That's really all you got?
We will talk to you later. Have
Meet
a good
you on
show,
the
John,
later
and don't
today.
Forget Pete Shepherd at 4.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Gino Capoletti.
Hello!
You're listening to PFW in Progress on Patriots.com radio. Really, Fred? My hip? My hip?